What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Smoking Tire Podcast. This episode of the Smoking Tire is brought to you by Auto Tempest. I love Auto Tempest. We've been talking about them for a while on this show. You know how it works. Auto Tempest searches all the top car listing sites in one place. And this is good because whether you're actively shopping for a new car, maybe looking at the market, just browsing around, whatever it may be, Auto Tempest keeps you from having to do double work. Double work sucks. You don't want to have to put all that search info into one site just to open a new tab and have to put it all into another site and then another site and then another site. AutoTempest.com searches sites like Cars.com, eBay Motors, CarSoup, Cars Direct, and many more, plus many individual dealers and private sellers. Then you can compare the results from AutoTrader and all of Craigslist, not just the 200-mile radius around your city. I'm talking nationwide, folks, so you can find the exact car you want for the best price without wasting a ton of your time browsing around to all those different sites. You know what? I love Auto Tempest, man. They really make my life easier. Whether I'm looking to buy, sell, or browse, it just saves me time. And time is the one thing I can't ever get more of. It's a one-way street, folks. AutoTempest.com. Check it out. We're also brought to you by Beeline Coffee. Can you feel the energy in my voice? That's from the Roasted Tire, my personal roast from Beeline Coffee. It is delicious, but there's a lot of other good roasts there as well. I've been working with Beeline for over a year now. They don't even pay me in money. They just pay me in coffee. That's how much I like it. I just say, keep me drinking the coffee. I'll keep reading the ads. You feel me? It's really delicious. Single origin, some blends, some singles, but either way, very high quality blends from all the best coffee producing regions around the world, like Central America, Ethiopia, South America, the Caribbean, you name it. They got the beans, folks. And use code TST to get 15% off your entire order, big or small, at Beeline Coffee. Just go to BeelineCoffee.com, make yourself a little cart, enter code TST at checkout, 15% off your whole order, even if it's a recurring subscription-style coffee of the month order, which I got from my dad for his birthday. He's about it. Code TST at BeelineCoffee.com. This episode is going to be a really good show. We got Andrew Collins from Jalopnik in studio. We also got Alana Shear from Edmunds, Hot Rod, Sports Car Market, a million other things because she's like the hardest working freelancer ever. And this episode is going to be the live auction wrap up. We sell my Mustang Fox Body on Bring a Trailer with 50% of the proceeds going to charity. It's a very exciting day for me. The bidding is already up to $65,000. Where it got on the first day. And we also hear about Andrew's ridiculous UTV wedding day injury. It's a great episode, good energy. It's a lot of fun. Here it is, Andrew Collins and Alana Shear on the Smoking Tire Podcast. You guys want to do a show?
Let's do a show.
Yeah. I'm so ready for show.
Yeah. Fucking Smoking Tire Podcast. That's the show. Now it's the show. Now it's now. Hello, everybody, and bienvenue. As I have this water, Andrew Collins of Jalopnik is in the building. Alana Shear is joining us again, wearing the fucking same dress as last time.
It's a new dress,
I'm just
dude.
Kidding. It's not the same dress as last time.
I got two dresses.
We got about 55 minutes, I think. What does that say? 53 minutes until the end of auction on Bring a Triznailer.
Oh, yeah. Are these Larry Chen photos?
That one right there is Robin Trujano for Automobile Magazine, but there is some Larry Chen in there. I have like the most legit auction photos
going on
right now. Yeah. I got permission from them. Check out, is it Robin? I want to plug his Instagram. Robin Trujano Photo on Instagram. And then, of course, Larry Chen Photo with an F on Instagram.
Oh, mama, look at that thing.
Ooh. So, yeah, half the money going to charity. It looks like if it doesn't move, it looks like 32.5 is going to go to the charity of the winner's choice.
Wow.
There's been some speculation in the comments of this thing because the high bidder right now bid twice. It started out at like 25 grand, and then this dude like straight through 30 on top of it. And I don't know, like he wanted to clear it out, I think.
but he's never bought anything before. Someone looked up his history. He's bid on like 16 cars before and never won any.
Interesting.
I mean, that doesn't mean fucking anything. Yeah. It could just mean that those cars went for more than he was willing to pay. But
is he like that classic movie thing where he's like, I'll drive the bid up and then someone else will beat me, and then he has to end up buying it one day?
If he did that by throwing 30 on top of the previous bid, that is a poor strategy.
Pretty aggressive.
But I just saw, I was in Ohio racing, and I just saw Myron Vernis, the most Jalopnik guy ever. You know that guy?
I don't, actually. Oh,
right. You totally know this guy. Really? This guy, he's the guy who had the Porsche, resist the urge to like stare at the monitors.
Oh, okay.
Those are really for Zach. He had like that Porsche 901 convertible prototype that he sold for like $1 million. He bought it for like nothing. He sold it for like $1 million. This guy right here, you can pull that over, Zach from Jalopnik.
Oh, yeah.
And then he had to, in order to not pay the insane, you know, capital gains tax, he had to buy these other cars. So instead of buying one car, he bought like 50. And now he's just got like, I think he has over 100 cars now.
Right.
And he restores them, and he's got the weirdest like Japanese shit. And Leno just went to his garage. And
that's how you know it's good.
You know how it's good? Leno went to his garage and drove two cars that Leno had never even heard of before.
Damn.
Wow. If you own two cars that Jay Leno's never heard of, you have some weird shit.
No doubt.
I'm just impressed by anybody who, I mean, he just goes all in. To me, it seems like car stuff is, you know, like hoarding anything, like getting cats or
please,
something.
Please, it's
like
collecting. Don't use the H word.
You start with one cat.
Yeah.
And then, like, someone knows that you like cats, so they mention that there's a kitten, and then you get another cat, and, like, you know, the next thing you know, you've got 50 of them. But
right.
But to actually go and accumulate 50 cats at once.
I don't know if he bought them all at once, but he definitely bought, like look at some, go pull this article over, Zach, if you can. The top thing, the top one that you just scrolled past there is the Huffman X8. Which is not just a weird name. That engine, that is an X engine. Like,
what?
You know, they've got Vs and inlines and flats and Ws.
Yeah.
That's an X.
Is it an X like they're opposing and opposing?
Yes.
You know, okay.
Wow. It's a four-way boxer.
Like an airplane engine that's missing, what, two cylinders?
Yeah, but it's not like fully radial.
Right.
It's like, yeah, you kind of, yeah. It's an
weird.
X8.
Weird.
Yeah, he said it's a hunk of shit, basically, but it's just the
didn't
weirdest
pan
thing
out,
ever.
Huh?
Yeah, no, he goes, you understand why this thing never took off, but he said it does
well,
like
all the airplane
work.
Engineers, like, you know why we have the full circle, right? There's like, there's a reason, it's vibration, probably.
Yeah, it does apparently work. It keeps scrolling down. What do you have? The Paxton Phoenix.
Bill Paxton's car company.
Never really made it. It was Bill Paxton's grand. It sort of looks like if you took a
Citroën like DS and a fish
and a Mazda Cosmo or something,
a
Unos Cosmo, and sort of shove that together. God, Myron. So on top of being the first person to throw a bid on my Mustang, which may have been a straw bid, I don't know if he really was going to get stuck with it, but we were in Ohio, and I started the race on Saturday. I was racing with the Road and Track guys.
Right.
The clutch goes on lap 4. Technically, the throwout bearing melts and takes the clutch with it.
Damn.
And Myron found us a clutch and drove it down from Cleveland to mid-Ohio.
Whoa.
So this dude, like, on top of having these crazy-ass weird cars, he apparently has... Does he really have a Davis DeVan? Wow. I've only ever seen one of those at the Peterson.
I thought there only was one of them.
Yeah, I thought that was the only one. I didn't know there was more than one. Maybe he owns
this guy loves Peterson. Aquatic cars. These all look like submarines or fish.
They do, yeah. This Ghia, yeah. He's got a Ghia 450, is apparently extremely rare, and he drives it like all the time. He said his newest car is 29 years old, which is hysterical.
I like this guy, yeah.
Oh, this guy rules. And he's not like, what I love about him is he's not like a hedge fund billionaire or something. He's literally was like the superintendent of a golf course.
Huh.
And he just like, but he finds this shit at the point that nobody wants it. You know, he's got like random Ghia bodied Citroëns that are like, you know, he finds like prototypes
right.
that fucking nobody wants. Oh wait, go back up. The Caballero.
We talked about this once.
We
on the
talked
show.
About
it's
this.
One of the worst things.
Looks like
isn't it like
Simpsons.
It's like a rebodied Chevette or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
It's like you took like a little bit of Cadillac and a little bit of Lincoln
yeah.
and then you shrunk it and then you took it out of Disneyland and then you let people drive it on the street.
Yeah.
Is it like a Dodge Magnum or something? That front end? Not the later one, but like the
Wait, make sure the audience can see this picture, Zach. I fucked that up a bunch. We talked about this with, I don't know, Torchinsky or someone.
Yeah, this is right up
his
alley.
Was it Torchinsky?
Yeah, it definitely was.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think he drove it. He did one of the things on like Jason Tribe's awful shit. On, like when he had that show.
Uh-huh.
It. Oh my God, I forgot. It's
this is the page.
It's really fucking. Oh, it was Brendan McAleer, not Torchinsky, but you know, equal affinity for fucking horrible
Look
cars.
Look at that profile.
There is almost nothing worse than that. You know what it looks like? Imagine you took a 70s like Lincoln and just hacked three feet off the nose in the trunk.
The passenger
compartment's the same size.
It's like the shortened Lincoln that Roadkill drove on the Lemons rally.
Yeah. Did they shorten the wheelbase of that? Is that what they did?
They bought it
the
like
back.
That.
It's so awful.
That is terrible.
That's so fucking brutal. Interior looks about right. I mean, that's pretty par for the course.
Yeah.
That could be a Pinto or it could be a fucking anything.
Real bad car.
Really, really bad car. Anyway, I want to. Can you regale us with the story of your hand? I know you told it.
How
before,
much time you got, fella?
I don't know. We got 45 minutes until this auction ends.
So as not to bum everybody out too much, I'll go with the like abbreviated.
I'll take the third part last.
My family and fiance and I were in Jackson Hole. We're gonna get married out there. Just family and friends kind of deal. And
I think, didn't you talk about you had rented a Range Rover on Turo or something?
Yeah, I
remember you were here right before then.
That's right. Yeah. 06 Range Rover. That thing worked fine. We had family fun activities planned. People were like rafting and we rented Can-Am UTVs.
Mm.
And we went out and my wife got stung by a bee while we were driving this thing. We pull over and we smack the plastic and we realize this whole car is full of bees. Like, chock full of bees.
The UTV was full of bees?
Yeah, the plastic bodywork. So we called them up and we're like, we gotta get rid of this car.
Yeah, full of bees is not what you want to hear about anything.
So they're like, all right, we've never heard of that happening, but we'll send you another one. Just wait where you're at. It's like, okay. So we're out in the woods. We're like, I don't know, 20 miles from the town of Jackson, which is not a big city, but it's a town. And so we're like, all right, well, we're just waiting here. We got two other buggies. Let's just, you know, do donuts and screw around and stuff. So I'm like, you know, driving around, screwing around and I initiated what I would describe as a casual power slide, which is like what these things are made for. And what I didn't realize is the surface was just way bumpier than it looked.
Just rutted?
Super rutted. So I was moving laterally and hit this series of ruts. And one series kind of like knocked me out of sorts and like I went all Muppet arms. And then the second I hit the end of this rut, like at this weird 45-degree angle so perfectly that the thing started spinning like really, like ridiculously fast. Like
rolling spinning?
Yeah,
rolling.
Yeah, rolling, spinning on like this way. And I my vision vignetted and I sort of like regained my senses when the car was on its roof. And I could feel this like weird sensation in my hand. I was wearing gloves, like Fox gloves, and I put it in my... kind of put my hands together and my left hand just felt like a bag of sand.
Oh.
And I just started yelling, hospital, hospital, hospital. And my buddies came over.
It's funny, but it's not funny.
Good reaction time.
Because I didn't know what was wrong with me. I just knew I had to get the hell out of there. And my now brother-in-law, as soon as he saw me, he was like, all right, like we got to get him out. They tried, because the car was on its roof at this point. So they couldn't...
Were you strapped into
it? Yeah, I was belted and helmeted. So my hand got stung like on one of its rotations. It spun like many times.
And it got crushed between the roll cage?
Yeah, between the A pillar and the dirt. Yeah.
Oof.
And so they were like, first they couldn't figure out how to unbelt me. And then my friend and my brother-in-law flipped the UTV onto its wheels. I don't know how they did it because it's a 1,600-pound car.
Were you on a slope?
Just flat.
Were you going really... I'm trying to figure out why it rolled over so many times so quickly.
I think it's because once I was going sideways and I sort of hit these thing, it kind of was just like...
Okay.
And then it had... So it had like a bouncing momentum and like a...
By the time it landed, it was already on the roof, so it had a lot of like whip factor.
Yeah,
happening.
Totally honest, I don't really remember like everything that was going on as the crash happened. It's just like
I just wish you had more details on this story.
I know, I do too. Anyway, they flagged down some random passerby in a Toyota, and They were like, we got to get him down the mountain.
I do like that you remember that detail.
Yeah.
It was an SR5 X-Runner on 33s.
It was charcoal gray. It had the cloth interior.
It's actually a seafoam green Highlander.
Oh, fuck. It's a depressing car to be rescued by.
Yes, it was. Yeah. So they called the ambulance and they were like, yeah, we can't like get up there. So you got to come down to us. And so this dude were like, he's like picking his way down this off-road trail in this fucking Highlander while I'm in the back, like screaming bloody murder.
Jesus.
One of my friends was like kind of like arresting the brachial artery so I wouldn't bleed out and like holding my hand up.
Jesus Christ.
And no, dude, my hand looks like a bowl of dog food.
Did they get the glove off you or did they not even bother?
The glove in my hand and the bones. It was all like an octopus that had been hit with like a melon hammer. And they finally got me down the mountain. They injected me with fentanyl, morphine, and all that stuff. Wheeled me into the hospital.
This is the tiny town hospital?
This is the Jackson Hospital. And they're like, all right, we're going to wheel you into surgery and we'll do whatever we can. And so it's our wedding officiant and my fiance were sitting there. I'm like, all right, you got to marry us so she can have like last rites or whatever.
Were you conscious enough to do that?
Yeah, kind of. So I thought I was, but then they told me all about like, oh yeah, we did. He like gave the speech and like, I don't remember any of it. So yeah.
Was someone videoing it?
Like, no. We made it official and then they wheeled me into surgery and then 2 hours later they called my wife and they were like, it's too hard. We need to send him to a big hospital. Like, this is beyond our technology, basically.
Uh-huh. Good on them for doing it.
It was. Yeah. And shout out to Dr. Heidi Yost. And so they put me in an airplane. They flew me to Utah.
Was that like life flight status?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And
insurance cover that shit?
Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you what this all cost next.
Oh, I can't wait. We'll have a bidding on that.
Yeah, we should.
Fucking auction's over.
So they, I landed.
You could be the charity.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe the winner of the auction can donate to this place.
I landed in Utah, and they wheeled me in at nighttime, and for 9 hours, they did surgery on me.
9 hours?
9 hours to try to put me back together overnight. And then, basically, I woke up. Yeah, the video is there.
Is that an X-ray? What is that?
That's in the. This is like a little video.
That's in fucking surgery.
Yeah, so they threw that's in the ambulance. So they threw us like a wedding welcome thing. They were like, oh, you know, like
that's so
newlyweds.
Is there like fucking the bridal coming down the aisle music to this?
No, I should have done that. But yeah, it's pretty quick. So basically, the flight nurse called ahead to the hospital, and they're like, hey, some people got married like right now. You should like. Throw them a little party. So they they made like signs out of like medical equipment. It was very adorable.
Holy shit.
My hand
that
is all like swollen.
Yeah, that's a fucked up. Is that your other
hand? That was my good hand.
That's a good hand.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was gnarly, man. They worked on me. I had to be kept above like 90 degrees Fahrenheit in the hospital room so the blood flow would be like viable, like maximum hand blood flow. I don't know.
In like an incubator?
Pretty much, yeah. I was in like this, looked like a pool toy. And,
so you were on like an oil warmer, basically.
Kind of, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Minnesota block warmer.
Like a double boiler kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. It was really similar to that.
That's so fucking wild.
And I was
for
in
how
like,
long?
Was in intensive care for like 3 days, and they were checking on me like basically every 45 minutes. I'm like taking my blood every, like whatever, all the time. And it was horrible. I had this, my most vivid memory is like 2 nights after my wedding, I'm like, I'm lying there and I'm just like, man, I'm supposed to be on my honeymoon right now. And this dude named Daniel is giving me a catheter. It's like not what I expected.
This is a totally different kind of wedding than I thought.
Exactly.
It's going to happen.
Wait, so. Oh, it was terrible, man. So I mean, 9 days I was in the hospital after that, just like in recovering.
And did you have a bunch of like guests somewhere that were like waiting to have a wedding that never. I mean, obviously, this is secondary to you having a hand or not, but like.
Kind of. It was going to be a 16-person wedding, so just parents and siblings.
Okay. So did they all come to the hospital at that
Some
point?
Of them did. Some of them had to go. Like my grandparents, we like sent them home. Some people stayed. My father like went back to Boston to deal with some stuff and then came back and stayed with me. My wife's family stayed for a little bit. It's just kind of like a whole deal. They all like slept in the waiting room while I was getting, you know, like tuned days? Up. Just for like, yeah, for like a day. And then they got a hotel and then they left like after a couple
where
days.
Where in Utah were you? Salt Lake City?
Salt Lake City, yeah. Hospital's amazing there. It was really good.
I imagine they probably have good health care
yeah,
there, right?
Yeah, Dr. Isaac Goodwin took care, really good care of me. So basically they did, yeah.
What are you?
It's ISAK.
Of course it is.
Yeah. So, I don't know why.
He's in guys- Utah. It's not a Jew. He's not a Jew.
Yeah.
He's
so, yeah. So yeah, there he is. Yeah. Great dude.
Are you guys going to do a wedding later? When
I don't know. It's TBD. It's a good question. We don't know.
So
maybe.
Do you have a hand?
I have. They had to cut the pinky off. They were like, there was just, dude, it looked like it was just like a black stick.
Oof.
And they were like, yeah, the wow. blood flow is... They tried to save it in Utah, but then when I got here to L.A., they were like, man, they did a good job, but it just... It's not happening. So they knocked me out and chopped it off, and then they, like, rearranged the... Oh, man. I've had so many procedures, man.
This is so fucking gnarly.
They injected me with a nerve blocker to... When I was conscious, and, like, I could see the skin, like, rippling. Like, it looked like some American Horror Story shit, for real.
Dude.
And then they're like, all right, we're going to reset your ring finger. And they're just like, boop. I'm like, oh, I don't feel a thing.
Wow.
Tell yeah. me you were, like, blindfolded or some shit for that.
I was looking away, but, you
oh
know, I was kind of like.
God.
So now I've got the pinky missing, and I've got about, like, 15 metal spikes holding it all together. And
are you Wolverine?
Yeah, I wish. Because then I would be healed already.
Wait, sorry. Do you have, is it like the external metal spike? Like, I mean, you can't
yeah.
take the thing off. There was a guy.
I can take
at,
this part off, but yeah.
Where was I recently? Rensport. There was a guy who was a friend of a photographer walking around with, like, traction on his legs and one hand.
Damn.
Like a suspension bridge going through his skin, and he's like eating a burger with the other hand. I'm like,
going right through his hand
to like hold the bones.
That's
up.
Exactly what's happening. Whoa. There's like spikes through every fingers, and then spikes through the metacarpals, which are like these bones
holy
on the outside
shit.
Of the hand, just holding it all together. And I've got like there's like tendons exposed here that needs to be like lubricated every day. So
it's like graft over.
I'm sorry, did you say lubricated
yeah,
every
that's
day?
That's what they say. So a nurse comes to my apartment every day and like takes all this off. Cleans it with hydrogen peroxide and then like re-lubricates my tendons.
That's
literally so they don't
crazy.
Die. So,
anyone yeah. who's listening to this on the Bring a Trailer website right now is like,
no,
I didn't
like,
sign up
this?
For this
yeah.
at
yeah.
all.
Can we talk about Mustang? No, so Andrew,
so sorry.
Did you were you like a body horror person beforehand, or were you comfortable with your own insides? Because like I'm not.
I will actually pass out on
yeah, like even with
fantastic.
Just like a paper cut.
I am fine with like, but when I've never really witnessed myself be this grotesque before, and so that it's I can't look at it. I can't look at it. Like I can work on other people with issues, but yeah,
because some people that I've talked
it's
to
so nasty.
Because when you do spend enough time with motorsports and machinists,
yeah. You see stuff.
Yeah, you know a lot of people who've had
fingers
breakage,
come off,
insides, outside, yeah. back in. And you talk to some folks and they're, I mean, obviously they would rather not have the pain and the destruction part, but like they're totally cool with the like, and then I got to see all my bones.
No,
and I'm like,
yeah, no.
No.
Yeah, no, it's, if I took this all apart, you'd see like a little bit of a cross section. It'd be quite nice, but
I don't think I want to.
No,
we're
you
good.
Definitely don't want
to. No, leave that shit wrapped up. Yeah.
Jeb Corliss, you know that base jumper guy?
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah.
time where he was wingsuiting and like clipped his leg on a rock and basically shaved off all the muscle on his shin, and he put a photo on Instagram of like his leg. And his thumbs up, and he's like, no painkillers, this is awesome. Like, he's one of those
that's
people.
That's like a Steve-O kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's not me, no. But
that's so gnarly, dude.
The part that sucks is, like, no doctor will promise me how much of my grabbing I'm going to get back. So they're like, so I'm going to be
so
able to,
so you
might
have a hand that's completely worthless?
Yeah, so
that's
they're
kind
like,
of a bummer.
Like a Lego hand. So they're like, am I going to be able to pull a motorcycle clutch? And they're like, maybe. Like, ooh. If you really work at it, like, I don't know. So,
I just picked up a Motorcyclist magazine. Yeah. There's aftermarket automatic clutches
there are
now.
Actually. Yeah, Zach Bowman, I was texting with him and he was already like, his wife was our photographer. And he was like, yeah, dude, we can do like a swap, a clutch swap. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah,
my wife was like, no.
No more motorcycles.
Wait till you know what your grip strength is. Because if you don't have to use the clutch, like you got to hold the bar.
Right, exactly. So I don't know. We'll see. It's
they always underpromise.
Yeah,
and then anything beyond that—that's
kind of
like,
what I'm hoping.
Good,
yeah, that's what I'm hoping. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But right now you got nothing.
Right now it doesn't move at all. My thumb
works. Your
thumb
works.
Yeah.
You got a thumb?
So
that's something.
Yeah.
As long as you can give thumbs up.
Exactly.
Fine.
I'll be back to Xbox in no time, or drones, or whatever. All that good shit.
Oh man, that's so fucking crazy,
yeah,
dude.
I'm always surprised that more, well, motorsports and vehicles don't have the hand tie things. Like drag racers at a certain level have those.
Yeah. I had to wear them for racing. Yeah, because we were racing a Miata. So any car with an open top in AER, you have to wear arm restraints.
Yeah, they should have that in more.
I never even heard of that.
Especially UTVs. I mean, I've driven
on a UTV. It seems even more obvious.
I don't want to get sued by like any of the makers, but like they don't seem. That's safe.
Well, Zach rolled one on tarmac.
I did. We just tipped one over, but all the ones I've driven, like, there was one made by a very large company, and the doors were, like, open. Right. Like, you could stick your leg out and kick the tire, and I don't know if that's a style choice, but it seems like a really bad idea.
Dude, I've been out on group rides with them now 3 times, and every time there's been a fairly significant medical incident.
Really?
Like, every time. So now I'm like, I don't know if I'm getting into UTV again. Like, straight up. I don't know.
Like, a quad might actually be safer.
Because you go slower.
Yeah, just get one of those three-wheelers. I mean, you know, if you're going to go, just go all into it. So,
Chris Harris just bought one of those.
Neil did, right?
Which are,
I don't think he's going to ride it, though.
I rolled a three-wheeler in my backyard, not moving. It was not running. I just was sitting on it. Andrew, have people
that's like
been
an episode of Family Guy where it's like,
yeah,
it was
literally
exactly like that.
Oh, God,
have people been supportive of you? I mean, we were talking, we were joking about,
no, no.
We were,
like,
we were joking about
yourself,
commenters.
Well, hands.
Honestly, the commenters have all been super cool because, like, I mean, it's a total, like, I'm embarrassed as fuck because, I mean, it's driver error. Like, I fucked up, you know, I overcooked a turn basically.
I mean,
and it's like, I mean, in the worst possible situation too. And, yeah, I mean, but people have actually not been, like, mean about it, which has been nice.
I mean, I don't think, I think you're a little harder on yourself in that incident than anything else. Like,
I mean,
everyone who's ever driven a UTV has tried to slide it.
Right.
Like,
I mean,
everyone.
It's like what
they're real
for,
good
right?
at it until they're not.
And it's also, I mean, you were wearing a helmet, you were wearing gloves, and even if you hadn't been, I mean, not, because, you know, the safety monitors, they love to comment, especially on anything I'm doing.
Right. Oh, exactly. Yeah.
Because you're a precious
but
little snowflake flower.
But if I'm wearing safety gear, then they like to comment to talk about how lame I am for not wanting to get dirty.
Right.
But,
exactly. Yeah, that's so true.
But all of that stuff is like, sometimes they're right. And I'm like, yeah, I agree. I should be wearing eye protection.
Yeah.
But I don't fucking want to because I just want this thing done. And if that means that I end up having to get something taken out, I'm making that choice. But I think that, I mean, I think all of us have done and will do again poor decision making in motorsports, but it is also a good reminder.
Well, it doesn't seem like a poor decision if nothing fucking bad happens.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is 90% of the time.
Yeah, if you're not wearing eye protection and nothing bad happens, you go, I didn't need eye protection. That was
true.
Fine.
Yeah, and I mean, I've done a lot of miles in UTVs, like thousands of miles, and I'm like, I know how they work, and it's just made a mistake.
It just so quickly turns to,
it's unreal. And it's really, I hope that once it sort of heals that I like my personality comes back to normal. But now I'm kind of weird. It's like I'm a lot more risk averse than I used to be. I'm like a little meaner. I'm like I gotta get myself back.
You're meaner because you're on opiates. I believe me. After my back surgery and I was on Vicodins
and
shit.
That stuff is no joke.
Yeah, it makes you really, really mean.
Yeah.
Can you smoke weed?
Yeah, I actually have a prescription for cannabis.
Yeah, you should. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what it's for.
I've mostly been transitioning to like a CBD, which is not super psychoactive.
Yeah.
Just like takes the pain away.
Well,
but
ironically, I quit smoking weed. I got meaner.
Yeah.
Well, it's always a, you know, there's a
crossover.
There's
an X. Yeah, there's
like a torque
where the horse.
Exactly. Well, I think that, first of all, when you don't feel well, you aren't yourself.
You're not,
no matter what it is or why it was caused.
It's
but then
the
also
fog that hangs over.
Yeah, it's a fog. That is what it feels like. Yeah.
When you do make a mistake, when you do when something that you've loved doing bites you in some way, I mean, that's a real confidence buster.
Absolutely.
You know, but obviously this is more extreme. But even if it's something like missing a deadline really badly or losing out on a job that you bid on or something.
Absolutely.
It really,
it lingers.
Yeah. It takes a long time to recover from that stuff.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Be gentle with yourself.
Thank you. Yeah,
how does your wife feel about it?
Honestly, she has been amazing. She's been like proactive and like trying to fix things. I mean, we've both had a few breakdowns, no doubt. But in the moment, she was just like kind of business first and let's get this shit done. And like, she's been super supportive and helpful. I mean, she's basically.
Does she feel like her wedding day was ruined? Are you going to have to like do another wedding or something?
I don't know.
I mean, yes, it was ruined. Yeah. Her wedding day was ruined.
Which relative said to the other one, like, we could have saved some money if we had a couple days ago.
You know, it was really hard to get out here.
What do you mean we can't get the deposit back on the hotel? Yeah. I don't understand what you're saying.
Actually, we did get all our deposits back, believe it
really?
Or not. Yeah, one of our wedding guests like called all our places, and they're like, yo, dude's going into intensive care. Like, you got to cut us to some slack. And they're like, all right, we'll give you your money back.
That's
so that
really
was cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
Turo included?
Well, Turo, we still use the car because we had to, some of the family had to use it to get back to get from, because that Life Flight plane only takes husband and wife. They don't take the whole
crew. You have to drive it to Utah?
Well, that's where we rented it. We landed in Salt Lake.
Rented it
and then, because flying to Jackson is a pain in the butt.
It's like in the middle
remote.
Of all these mountains.
Yeah, it's really remote. So we flew to Salt Lake, and that's where like we rented the car from.
Oh,
so.
That's helpful.
So that worked out in the end. Yeah. The Turo guy
blood,
was like,
blood stain removal charge.
Yeah. Yeah, did you bleed all over the Toyota?
I did, actually. Yeah.
You have to like send that guy a note? Or?
No, I have to send him a note. Yeah. yeah. All that stuff, like my friends and relatives sort of like took care of, and which was awesome of them.
What would happen if the Green Highlander wasn't coming by? Like, could they have driven one of the UTVs off the mountain?
They would have done that. Yeah, would have hurt a lot and a lot more.
Yeah,
and been noisier.
You figure it out.
Yeah, no, quick, yeah. I guess yeah. you would have. But it was a trail that like people were on.
We were on a fire road, so it was like Yeah, people were there. It wasn't like super, super remote. I mean, we were like 20 minutes from town.
Wow.
And that, like, just, you know, one ridiculous irony after another. Like, as we were driving out of town, we passed the hospital. I'm like, oh, hey, there's the hospital in case anybody like fucks up later.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah.
Way to point that one out. It turns out, oh, yay, I remember where the hospital was. Yes.
Like, just down the hill.
Normally, if you know where the hospital is, you won't need it.
Right, I know.
I guess it didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you know, now it's in the sucky part where it's like, okay, I'm not going to appointments like 3 times a week, but I'm also just like, I still can't do anything. I still can't drive. It still hurts to walk around. I'm like,
you're probably training voice to text really fucking
yeah,
well.
I'm trying. God, that's frustrating. I don't know if you've ever used that, but it's,
I mean, I use it like on Siri and
but
shit.
Like the,
are
for
you
like
using
writing
an
articles?
Actual legit one for writing articles?
Yeah, yeah. It's
Musto did that for a while.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
tough.
You can edit a little bit. Like, I don't know what program
you need to
he
edit.
Used,
I have Dragon.
But,
it's like,
okay.
Yeah. It's okay, but it's like a lot of words. And then when you say like uh-huh or like it'll like get all confused. I'm going to be like jellopicnic.com.
Yeah. I just had to go edit a bunch of YouTube closed captioning and they create some weird things.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Rust is Russ like a name
right,
and then,
right.
I don't know, there's some really cool stuff.
Especially when it's technical or automotive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a brand name. It's like
well, my favorite thing about those is when I do like a pull in a car, it says music playing.
It does.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
That's funny.
Is your brain okay? Like you can read and you're No.
It's like Days of Thunder.
As well as like, I could. Yeah. Actually, one of the nerve pain medications I was on made my vision like super blurry. So I was like, at first I was like, oh my God, did I lose my fucking eyesight? And they're like, no, that's normal. I'm like, great.
You hate to find out something like that's normal.
Yeah.
You're like, what do you mean this is normal?
Yeah.
Can't they fix this fucking drug?
Oh God. Speaking of, so.
I was originally developed to treat, you know, cows for eating something. And they go, hey, you know what this works for?
Yeah, literally.
They do that.
So yeah, it's like speaking of stuff like that, I'm getting treated by this doctor who is actually the chief of hand surgery at UCLA. And he says to me, oh, you know, I was thinking about your case last night. It's extremely complex. It's just like, oh, awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
You can be a case study.
Yeah, I'm going to be in a textbook.
Do you have like an x-ray of like the bag of bones that was your hand? Do you? That would be the shit.
The CT scan, CD?
I don't have them on me. I wish I could share them on our
site
right now.
Have you seen them and they were horrifying?
Yeah. Oh, it's crazy, man. It looks like my bones were in a paper cutter. It's just like, they're just like, sunk. I'm like, oh, just like.
Your analogy game is strong.
He's had a lot of time to think about these.
Exactly. It's like, I got to think of some zingers for
staring at the x-ray. Is that a paper cutter or a paper shredder?
Well, clearly your writing ability is undamaged.
I hope so. I have like some very graphic. I was thinking about sharing some on Halloween with like a viewer discretion slide. First,
yeah,
I have some very graphic images of like even now it's freaking gross. It's like,
yeah,
it's post tendons. It sounds pretty
gross.
Yeah.
Man, when I read that fucking, who actually wrote the first story that I read though?
You about this?
Yeah,
I did like a pretty long IG post. I came up against
the character.
Yeah.
I guess you wrote it. Somebody wrote something else about, like, it was on Jalopnik. Someone wrote a post about your thing.
Yeah, I think someone was just like, man.
Patrick
like,
or somebody.
Say, yeah, like,
it was
wish our buddy
fucking
well.
Crazy. I was just like, holy shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it's.
I guess, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's
it's,
it.
It's, Yeah, man, it was surreal. It was like,
I mean, it's the same video we brought over.
Yeah, yeah.
Over
it was
before,
if you let it play, you'll see the wedding we had in the hospital. It comes up pretty quick. It was surreal, man. It was like, it was an actual situation where it's like, you did not think it could happen to you. And because, you know, we all drive fast cars and fast vehicles and drive them a lot. And it's just like, it's going to be weird the next time I go on ACH. And I'm just like, I'm going to be in a different mindset a little bit. Yeah. Well, so they all like,
and,
waiting
oh,
for
there's
us.
The signs and stuff. Yeah.
That was super cute.
And you know, you feel like you were wearing the gear.
Right.
Like you had all the recommended gear on.
I had more. I mean, nobody wears like armored gloves.
Oh, you were wearing armored gloves too?
Yeah. They got freaking shattered.
Wow.
Yeah. But they might have helped. Oh,
Alpine
Stars
Atlas. That's so sweet of them.
Yeah, and then they had the little like sign.
Oh my god.
Mr. and Mrs. Collins at my hospital.
The bridal suite.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. My poor wife.
Oh my god, your wife looks so annoyed.
Yeah. Dude, your wedding ended up being so much more expensive.
Oh yeah. Oh my god.
Oh no, now
like,
you can tell us how much life I was.
Would anyone like to guess what the United Healthcare has paid out for me so far?
So it includes surgery and everything?
This includes 8 hour surgery. Oh no, 2 hour surgery in Wyoming, flight across state lines, 9 hour surgery, 9 days in the hospital.
9 days in the hospital?
Plus, 9 days in the hospital, plus getting another finger amputated in a separate appointment, and then getting another finger straightened.
I bet this was easily $500,000. Easily.
I'm going to go with $350,000, Bob.
You guys are actually both high.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I'm guessing the life flight was $10,000.
Life flight was 30. The plane was $30,000.
How many? Wow.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I believe that. That's actually pretty standard private jet cost.
So, yeah. And it's just north of 170.
That is a lot less than I would have guessed.
But you're not done.
But they're already planning surgeries for another year from now. So. Yeah.
But like I had back surgery and fucking minor. Like the incision is this big, right? And I spent one night in the hospital.
Yeah.
That was $125,000.
Damn. Wow. It must have been like a more trickier thing or something.
I can't possibly.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe Utah is just a cheaper place to get healthcare.
Maybe, yeah. I had it in California.
Yeah, it might
be
part of it.
That could be a thing. I had to pay that that doctor's expensive-ass rent.
My hospital bill was $250, but I stayed in the hospital for a month. So most of my costs, because I didn't have any surgery until later, but most of the cost was just like, you stay here.
Right.
And that just adds up because it's like $1,000 a day.
Right.
Yeah. Because
they're checking on you like every couple hours and it's like 24 hour. Yeah. It's a whole thing. But yeah.
Catheter Dave costs extra.
Oh my God. Have you ever had a catheter in your man? Holy shit.
I actually
did.
Yeah, I did. They put it in while I was asleep, but they took it out while I was awake.
Yeah. It's like,
and
why?
It's not good. You know what was actually worse than the catheter? I had a deviated septum that I had to fix. And I didn't realize just how much cotton they can shove in your fucking sinuses.
Oh, no.
Removing that was actually worse than the catheter, amazingly enough. Let's end this so we don't fucking lose our audience.
I know.
That's
I'm
amazing.
So
I'm so glad you're okay.
Thank you.
Mostly okay.
No, I know.
You're down a digit.
I feel so bad for everyone who had to sit through that. I'm really sorry.
No, that's a crazy fucking story. even though it's kind of gross, I like crazy stories on the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure you have well-wishers in the comments.
I'm glad to hear that. I'll go back and look at them later.
So we got 19 minutes left until, so basically I put my Mustang up for charity and bring the auction page over, Zach, so the folks can see it. Larry Chan and Robin Trujano were like really nice enough, and actually Automobile Magazine, because this picture was from Automobile Magazine. They were nice enough to give permission to use this stuff.
Cool.
And the winner takes half of the money. goes to a charity that the winner chooses. So basically, I think that combined with no reserve, combined with me whoring this car all over town, is how we end up at $65,000.
It's a really cool and unique car.
Yeah,
it's a done
car. You can buy it and just drive it home right now, and it'll be done. You know, you don't have to do anything if you don't want to. Or you could double the horsepower, and the rest of the chassis would be completely fine with that. Which is sort of one of the reasons I'm parting with it, because I'm at that point right now where
I was going to ask, why are we selling it?
So I've got other cars coming in. I bought a Countach.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, that's awesome.
So I'm a lunatic. Yeah, I'm out of my
mind. It's sort of like finding out that you're going to have a baby. Like, oh, I have a vintage Lamborghini coming.
Yeah.
So I need to stockpile cash.
Right.
I need to be ready for my car's college fund.
Totally. And I need to clear out space in the garage. And also, like, that the thing that that car does really well is canyons. It's like, okay, that's a canyon car. And the truth is any of us can probably attest, when your job is to drive borrowed cars in the canyons, you're really not up there with your own cars very often.
That's
like,
true.
It's kind of a pain in the ass to get up there. We got to run a business here. Like, I got a lot of travel and press cars and podcasts and all this other stuff. And having a canyon car doesn't make a lot of sense right now, especially not one with no climate control, no radio.
Oh, it's got no climate control.
No.
Wow, you're brave.
And it has no radio. And you know, it's not particularly fun to like sit in traffic in LA with that. You know what I mean?
Which is why you're getting a Countach.
No, the Countach
the funnest
is to,
of all
the
traffic
Countach
cars.
Is to make money. I have no bones about that.
Really? You're just gonna flip it?
I'm not going to flip it. It's a buy investment and hold car. Investment.
I see.
And I'm going to drive it.
It's a vehicle
like,
virgins type purchase.
Dude, I'm going to drive it a bit. Like it's yeah. Okay. Except it's appreciating instead of depreciating.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The Safari 911, is coming back in 2 weeks. I spent a lot of money last year, and the Safari 911 is coming back, and that is a Porsche for the city.
Like the urban
jungle? Yeah, because the roads suck. The car, it's got air conditioning.
All right.
It's
you
got
can
a
go
sunroof.
Over curbs.
Yeah, yeah, it's true, got a sunroof. It's got a 800-watt Clarion stereo.
Oh, look at that monster.
Like, it's actually set up for sort of luxury touring. And I'm going to do a little off-roading with it. But, like, it's really like a Porsche for the everyday Los Angeles lifestyle.
Is it actually mauve or is it?
Yeah, what a color.
It's cassis red.
I love it.
Which is
sort of
mauve. It looks different in every light.
Yeah.
Close this window, Zach, and go like, a little bit down, a little further. So that's sort of what it looks like there, the center picture. Yeah, that's what it looks like in a flat sort of gray light. And then it really does take on the interior is fucking
look at that.
Rad.
That is
Lee
awesome.
Keen rules.
Holy crap.
He's had customers who have requested crazy interiors before, but what they really want is like houndstooth or tartan.
Right.
I actually commit to the crazy.
That's fantastic.
The color, it really takes on, you know, it looks golden in the afternoon and it looks super purple at high noon. Mm-hmm. And it really does absorb light well. So it's a funky, weird color. It's super 80s, but I love it.
Forgive my Porsche ignorance, but is that a factory color? Or is
yes.
That, it is.
Oh, yeah. It was a special order on 911s.
Okay.
It was really common on 928s, actually. It was
okay.
like a 928
yeah,
color.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but it's called Cassis Red. And since I think we may have added some value to it by doing this project because, like, I paid
the color?
I paid less money than if it was red or black because it was this color.
Yeah.
But ever in the last couple of months, cars have popped up that have been really expensive, rare Cassis red. It really depends how it's photographed.
So I drove to Big Bear yesterday, and
you drove to Big Bear yesterday.
Yeah, I offered the Wrangler up there.
Oh,
is that where your mud came from?
Zach has a very dirty Wrangler outside.
The mud came from Hungry Valley yesterday. The day before, I went to Big Bear, but I was going to tell you that the trail I chose ended up being too easy to make an interesting video with the Wrangler.
But would it be good for the Porsche?
It would be awesome because it's parts of it are narrow, like you're on a cliff narrow. It's mostly like fire road plus, and there was two sections that you needed clearance. Like one, you had to go over a rock with some momentum, and then the rest was almost like all cars where it's like big rocks.
Yeah,
just place your wheels, but you'd be fine. And the road in the curvy road off of the 10 was like awesome.
Oh, the rim of the world,
3118 or whatever it is.
338.
318. Yeah, 3.
Yeah,
so
you
can do the whole thing and then come back here in one day.
Well, so the car before mine, which you had pulled up for a second, if you go down in the picture of Lee's garage with the purple one with the ruby stone, keep going. There. No, a little more. Sorry. A little there, left. That car lives in Reno. the Ruby Stone car, and then there's my car, and then the next two are California builds also. So then, you know, he Lee did that amazing 911 safari off-road adventure thing with like 10, 11 cars.
Yeah.
We're going to plan one for California.
Cool.
So, although I kind of want to do like Oregon or something, somewhere a little more green maybe.
Yeah. It's pretty up there.
Why not both? Logging roads. Logging roads.
Yeah. The logging roads, the fire roads are awesome up there.
Yeah.
But I think... But
wait, we should focus on your Mustang while we're Mustanging.
Well, we got 15 minutes.
15 minutes, yeah.
I'm excited. So I don't even... I'm worried. I don't know. Well, I'm not worried. Right now, we're good. Because I got about 30 into this car. So if I give half away to the charity, I just about break even.
Okay.
Which is good. I'm fucking stoked. I thought maybe this thing would get 30, maybe 40 grand, but someone fucking came out. What's the name of the high bidder? I don't know how you see that. Can you go scroll down, Zach, and see where the go up or further up? I think it
probably
might. If it says number of bids, you might be able to click on the bids. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
Matt, bids six, you've sold a lot of cars. Do you ever miss them?
I thought I would more than I really do. Do you?
I've only ever sold like four cars, and I don't miss any of them. I mean, I don't have any negative feelings about them, but they all went, I believe, to better homes than I would have given
them. Yeah, I've never like had to sell one where like I needed the money or whatever. I usually mentally decide that I'm done with it, and then once it's listed, it's already mentally gone. And Yeah, no, I haven't actually missed them. I thought I would miss my Corvette. Hannah bet me that I would miss my Corvette. I don't. I had a little encounter with my old Fiesta at Mid-Ohio.
Oh, yeah, I saw
it. This dude brought it out. The guy who owns it, he actually may buy my Focus RS, too, which I'm really excited about. But he brought it out. I was like, oh, I wish I kept this instead of buying the Focus RS. One maybe a little bit. But, like, typically, no.
Huh.
Mentally, I'm checked out of them by the time I decide to sell.
What
the DeLorean
you?
I don't miss. Do you miss anything you sold?
Yes and no. I sold a 96 Land Rover Discovery with a stick like 5 years ago, and now it's like, if I had that now, I could sell it for a lot more than...
Yeah.
But I also would have had to take care of it for the last six years. So it's like,
And then, now, given your current situation, a stick shift is not exactly advantageous.
Well, we don't own any automatics. So So my wife's like, all right, you can buy another car, but it has to be an auto. I'm like, And she's like, and you have to sell one of them. I'm like, no!
but the hand that works is the one that you can go wheel to shift.
That's kind of what
shift.
I'm thinking.
I've held coffee in the left hand while driving.
Yeah, I was like, I don't like definitely not high performance driving like this, but I could like get around town, I think.
Yeah,
you could, yeah. Did you drive over here?
No, I got a Lyft. I'm not allowed to drive right now.
Oh, you're because of the drugs?
Well, that's part of it. And like they don't want me to like suddenly have to react to something try to use the hand. Yep. And then,
your brain could take over.
Yeah,
and like,
yeah, exactly. It's already happened.
Do you need a ride home?
Yeah, I guess I do, actually. but like if like something's going to fall off the counter, I'm like, oh, shit, ow.
Oh,
like, then
no.
I try to move it. And
yeah.
It's getting better now, like 6 weeks later. But
wait, is your like, sorry to go back to this one, but is your elbow and shit fucked up,
no,
too?
No, this is fine. Okay. Yeah, all I mean, right. It was really scratched up, but it's just
but
scratches.
No bone damage.
No.
Okay,
bone
cool.
Is all, it's all right.
So the arm works. It's just a hand issue.
Yeah, they just want to keep it like, it's just easier to keep it in the thing.
But worst comes to worst, robot hand. Yeah. Some awesome technology.
Like,
I follow
Skywalker
this rad
hand.
Girl who has this like full robot arm. She's,
damn.
Yeah.
People do
it's
it.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It's
I cool. saw someone recently where they put like exoskeleton legs on someone who was paralyzed from the waist down.
Whoa.
and that dude walked.
Whoa. Yeah.
And I saw someone yesterday on Venice Beach, before I went down on Venice Beach, just like super casually walking on two fully carbon fiber legs.
Damn.
It was like mid thigh down. Carbon fiber legs, both.
Yeah, they let folks who have those carbon fiber like leaf spring legs, they can't compete
like
in
the Pistorius legs
against
like an advantage.
Yep,
flesh
I agree
body
with
people
that.
Because
yeah, that makes
they're
sense.
Actually faster. Yeah.
Flesh body people. That's a really fun term.
Sounds
well,
like a
you know,
dystopian.
I'm working really
half
hard to
half
not
snowflake.
You know, to not ever be what's the I try to not use the word normal to. Describe,
right. Yeah, yeah, right, right, right. No, no, that was,
that,
I get you, I get you. Yeah, that was very, very progressive of you. That's good.
That's, we have to recalibrate our brains.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just in Ohio, and God, I heard so much casual racism. Oh my God, it was so fucking depressing. I was in a bar by myself, because like, We finished all of our things at like 7 p.m. in East Coast time. Like,
did you guys not race? Like, by the way, was the car just broken after five laps?
So, no. I mean, first off, Bozy and Boyan and Josh and this dude, John Chevelle, who are our like mechanics, are incredible. I mean, Bozy and Josh did. So, okay, Saturday during the race, I started. The throwout bearing melted and took the clutch with it on lap four.
Right.
It took 5 hours to get the parts we needed together. Jack had to drive back to his house to get an extra gearbox to get parts off. Myron brought the clutch down from Cleveland, a new clutch. And once we had the parts, they had it in the car in an hour, and we finished the race. And then on the next day, the fucking gearbox. Travis was in the car. Okulski did five laps, and the gearbox went.
Aww.
And
you light the car on fire after that? That's
dude, they
do.
Swapped gearboxes in 90 minutes and ended up finishing the race.
Oh, so the gearbox from the first...
The gearbox session was fine. Was fine, but they needed the parts that were on it.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Wow. Was this a champ car race?
It was AER, American Endurance Racing. It was freezing cold. And so it was a frustrating day. I mean, I drove 5 laps on day 1 and I drove like 50 minutes on day 2. Which, when you fly to Ohio and you stand around 30 degrees, really frustrating. It's nobody's fault. You know, it's racing.
Yeah.
But, like, just sucked. But, like, East Coast time, you're done at, like, 7, and you need to be up at fucking 5:30. So you're like, oh, I got to figure out how to get some sleep. So you go to the local bar recommended by Sabor chef Carl Ruiz, my chef friend. And I go scroll up on my Instagram to, like, 3 days ago. And it's called the Red Fox. I got a sign down there. It is on the right. And the first night I went, and it was a great bar. Second night I went, and Ohio State was playing. A lot of red shirts, a lot of red hats. And I guess I walked in right after the national anthem.
Oh.
Because, boy, was there some disapproval at anyone who might have taken a fucking knee.
Oh, God.
And man, I've never felt so uncomfortable in a room full of white people ever.
Jeez.
And I was just like, whoa. Let me give you, and then I was like, can I just get a double Four Roses on the rocks? And she's like, that'll be $375. I'm sorry. How much was that? Where are you from, hon? Not fucking here.
It's like Dumb and Dumber where they shoot the owl with the cork. Yeah. And this party really died. Walk in and you're like, wow,
well, everybody's wearing red shirt, red hat, and I'm wearing like a yellow ski hat and like my dirty racetrack jacket. There was definitely like some dirty eyes at me.
It's funny, they're all record scratches.
You could have been wearing worse.
I also look a little brown in this current state.
Well, they're all facing the TV, like hands over hearts, and you're like, wow, nobody at the bar. This is amazing.
Yeah. They got there, right? And they got that, Ohio State got their ass kicked so bad, the bar turned it off after that, at halftime. Ooh. Yeah, they were getting smoked.
Well, God prefers the other team, I guess. God,
yeah, Jesus likes Purdue this week. What else? what else? Is there any action happening?
Yeah,
5 minutes.
It's going to be, if there's action, it's going to be in the last like 30 seconds. Yeah. I have a feeling this might be
totally
a little.
He's totally calm. I'm freaked out.
Yeah,
right,
I'm
now
excited.
I was freaked out last time because last time with the DeLorean, I was like $500 over the reserve price, but about $8,000 delta of where I was going to lose money. And it really, I was really having a panic attack.
I think at this price point, I don't know if you're going to get like a lot of last minute action because I feel like if people wanted it,
I need is two rich guys.
Right.
If you're really rich, this isn't a ton of money for something you really want. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's a fucking ton of money, especially for a Fox body. But if you're super loaded, it's not that much money.
Well,
it's a good story.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I would put it this way. If you are currently bidding on this, you are paying too much for a Fox body Mustang, but it's Matt's Fox body.
And half
Mustang.
It goes to a charity.
Yeah. And it's,
right.
It's,
that's, that changes the auction dynamics.
Person,
right.
You're not giving all of it to me.
Yeah. That makes a big difference, I think.
For you shouldn't have insulted OSU because like with the alumni that owns the library.
Yeah, all of a
school,
sudden, like that bid drops
this
down.
Right.
Right.
The OSU boosters are would be all over this shit. Yeah. I just want one. Like right now, we got one rich guy. What we need is two rich guys. Both of whom want
the car. All right,
well,
so we got 4 minutes. Let's talk about Fox body Mustangs in general. Mm-hmm. Why are they so great? Why are they worth buying? What can you do with them? You can do a lot of things with them.
What would you do with one?
Well, I mean, I came to know them through drag racing because they're incredibly light cars.
They are.
And,
especially the SSP cars.
You know, and they have like a really straightforward suspension. They have good traction. And so I always associate them with drag racing.
Yeah, what I like most about the car is that it's a muscle car, but it's small. Like, it's actually a pretty small car, and it has, like, really good visibility. Like, it's got kind of a low cowl, and, like, it's the size of, like, almost, it's only a little bigger than, like, an E30, but it's got a V8 in it, which is pretty cool. And, like, fucking all you need is a Summit catalog, you know what I mean? Right. You could pretty much get anything, and... It's a blank canvas for like whatever you want to do, really.
And you can make them handle pretty well, as you've proven. And some people use them as
drift
missiles.
You could do it way simpler than I could. I did the IRS because I thought we drive on these bumpy canyon roads, and the behavior over bumps was important to me. But like the proper like maximum motorsports, what the fuck do they
like
call
a
that?
Panhard
like
bar
the torque arm kind of bar that they do, like it on all but the bumpiest roads is totally like legit and fine.
Yeah.
So what made you buy this car in the first place?
So in high school, all of our friends had Mustangs, right?
Okay, yeah.
Larry Casilla, he was the first one, and then our friend Jim DeFonce, who actually did the work on our cars, he was the mechanic. He still has his. He has his 88. It runs like nines. He's a drag racer. But my mom, she said I could get a Mustang, but it had to have airbags, which in hindsight was probably a good idea.
Yeah.
So I got a 94 Mustang, which is basically a Fox body with a curvy coat on.
Right.
But I always, always, always wanted the notchback. And so when it came time to like do a project car, it was like, let's get a notchback and see if we can't make it go around corners.
Okay.
Was your mom mad?
No, my mom thought it was pretty cool. My mom was really mad when she saw my motorcycle, which is funny because I sold that because she cried when I saw it, and I love my mom, and I actually did sell it when she saw it and cried. But she has no problem with my scooter. None.
Huh.
Doesn't the connection is not made.
I've been having that thought.
Wait,
like,
go pull up the auction pages. We got like two minutes.
It's the countdown.
It's like it's over so the audience can see it too. 1 minute 50 seconds.
Like you can get an electric assist bicycle now that goes like 50 miles an hour, but a scooter motorcycle is.
Or you can grab a bird off any corner and almost die
for a
dollar.
Every day I drive down Venice Boulevard and you see an ambulance and then a guy sitting on a fucking curb and then the bird scooter laying down on the side.
Oh, boy.
Dude, like 6-inch wheels?
I know. So please. You really have to like test them out, too. If you see a row and you're like, I want a bird, you have to like shake this. Like, okay, is it like tire flat? You got to go a whole test run.
You ever get a flat tire on one?
Oh, yeah.
I got a flat tire on the front tire one and I continued to ride it all the way home. Before reporting it, my steering was like not good. Oh, it still is. I have a feeling, man.
1 minute.
I have a feeling that this dude has just cleared out the bidding.
He really just didn't want to be.
We're under a minute left. I mean, someone just, you know, when you throw 65 down on a Fox body, you make your intentions pretty much known. I think if it had gone to 40 or 45, there might have been a last-minute bidding war. But if there's a rich guy out there right now that wants this thing, I will throw in, I don't even know, I'm already throwing in dinner at Adam Perry Lang Hollywood with me and Zach, best steaks in L.A., with wine, 2 tickets to Radwood, and a display pass to Radwood if you would like to join us at Radwood L.A.
Cool.
I'll get you displayed front and center next to McIntosh. But I don't know, 20 seconds.
Yeah,
what else can you
throw in? A picture of Andrew's hand?
you get to see the actual picture of Andrew's hand.
See the tendons.
But I think this dude pretty much cleared it out.
Yep.
You know what, though? I'm not stressed. This is an amazing number. The world record for a Fox body is 82.5.
I was going to ask what the most expensive...
What was it?
82 was a 7-Up edition with delivery miles. Was that it?
Checking
is that
for
the
last
end?
Second bids.
Wow, this auction has begun and ended within the first fucking 4 hours.
That's fascinating.
Wow.
That's pretty uncommon.
Is that it? Like, sold? Wah, wah.
Still
sold?
Checking.
That's gone. That's gone, right? Last second bids?
Just says checking for last second bids.
Second for last second bids?
If only I hadn't left my phone in the other room, man.
Could have bought a bid on it.
Anything? Anyone dive in at the end? I don't think so. Can you,
It just says it's checking. I can refresh. I'm worried about it.
Fizzle.
Well, fuck Fizzle, bro. That's
Come
like
on.
This is like the top 5 most expensive Fox bodies of all time.
I know.
Did that say sold?
Or people wanted a little bidding war at the end there. Super anticlimax. Like, what do you expect?
I mean, dude, you know?
I mean, they're not wrong, but at the same time, like, it's a $65,000 Fox body.
Well, so that's sold. It. Sold. Well, listen, can you say sold to who? Can you go scroll down to the comments?
Yeah, who the heck are you shipping this
and
to?
And see who the name of the winning bidder was? whoever you are, and I think it'll say sold to go down. Keep going down in the comments. It'll say sold to, what does it say?
Arnaud Shanghai.
Arnaud, am I shipping this bitch to China? That would be crazy I had to ship this thing to China.
That would be crazy.
Well, I'm sorry to all the commenters that think it was anticlimactic.
I know. Like, what did you expect?
You know what? That's okay.
You had the chance to make it much more exciting, but yeah. You're cheap bitches.
Congratulations to Arnaud Shanghai.
See what else they've bought.
Spending 65 grand.
Well, they've.
It's a very nice Mustang.
Oh, you said this earlier. Yeah, they've bid a lot.
They've bid on other things.
A very eclectic group of vehicles. Very eclectic.
But Range not Rovers. Bought. Wow.
Those are cool.
A lot of really into classic Range Rovers.
Wow.
And
all right.
Pagodas.
Old Arnaud stuff. Shanghai takes it home for 65 grand. I hope if you're here watching in the Bring a Trailer comments, please let us all know what charity you would like me to donate half the money to. I'd love to share that.
Your car is the only American car this person has ever bid on.
Interesting.
Maybe they're just a fan. I hope they're not like straight. I had a back of my head thing that this person was not real. Like would just not, you know what I mean? Like they would just not pay, like they would bail, they would win and then
can
bail.
You do that? I thought, is there no like,
I mean, you'd probably get banned from Bring a Trailer if you did that, but I mean, you know, is there, let's see if Arnaud Shanghai, if you were there, I would love to see what's going on, what charity you'd like it to go for, because 65 is a great, buyer left a great comment. Randy Nonnenberg from Bring a Trailer just texted me. Shout out to Bring a Trailer. There he is. What is this? Please read that comment, Zach. I can't read.
All right. Hi, Matt, and thanks for selling this amazing car. I'm very happy to get to be the next keeper. If you know Hope for Paws, I would love that the donation goes to them. Let's talk later
Hope
about
Hope for
details.
Paws. Oh, pets.
Yay.
Oh, that's so great. Can we Google what Hope for Paws is? That's awesome. I'm so happy to give money to pets. Let's see what Hope for Paws is.
I mean, I would have been happy if the money had gone to Andrew's medical bills as well.
That's
but,
okay. No,
you know.
Is this an animal shelter of some kind?
Oh, yeah. They're going to be stoked to get
that's
30 Gs.
30 grand is a lot of money to an animal
awesome.
Shelter.
They're going
to
lose their minds.
What's Hope for Paws, Zach? Can you zoom in there?
It's pups.
It's a nonprofit animal rescue organization. They rescue all kinds of animals being suffering on the street or neglected in the wild.
Can you pull that over so the audience can see as well?
Founded in 2008.
That didn't work. Sorry.
Why does it do that?
I don't know.
Volunteered with someone from Los Angeles.
It's in L.A.
They gravitated to the most challenging rescues, often saving animals with the most pressing and complex medical conditions.
Oh, well, and so in a way it
I
is.
I can relate to these pups.
This is great. This is sort of like how I got Morgan. You know, I have a three-legged cat that
That's
I named
right,
Morgan.
Right.
And from another shelter that only deals with, you know, sick or injured or difficult adoptions. Yeah. And so this is a great cause.
Yeah, that's great. Yo.
Wow, that's awesome. Great call. I am more than happy. And if you are local, if this place is in L.A., come down with me and donate the money together.
Hope for Paws has a YouTube channel with 3 million subscribers.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
They put up videos of like, this is the dog we rescued or cat, and it looked like this.
Oh, we should totally go down there and do a video with them. I bet they would love that.
Can I come?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Congratulations, Arnaud Shanghai. That is a fantastic charity. I'm 100% on board with that. Not that I wouldn't go along with whatever, you know, you can't make up a game and then cheat at it.
Right.
I was worried, dude. People were all like, fucking donated to the Donald J. Trump Foundation. I'm like, no,
it's not a real charity.
Okay. No, it's not a real charity. But you know, you never know. But that's a great cause. Thank you so much, and thank you to Bring a Trailer. Yeah. Bring a Trailer agreed to donate my listing fee to whatever the charity is
nice.
As well.
That's cool.
I've had such a good experience with all the people at Bring a Trailer, and they're just such like nice, good, helpful people, and they write the listing. You fill out a form, and they write the listing, and. You know,
little flair.
They add a little flair. They make sure it's accurate. And
take out all the C words that you would normally put in.
Yes, I actually got a couple. I wrote a couple comments that had some curse words in them that got flagged.
Oh, really?
And they had to take down. Well, Arnaud Shanghai, whoever you are, if you're in LA or if you want to come to LA and pick up the car in person. Dinner at Adam Perry Lang Hollywood on me.
Ooh.
Let's go to this shelter. Dude, I'm friends with this guy now. This is like my favorite chef in LA. This dude, Adam Perry Lang. He was, he got famous by opening a barbecue restaurant in Brooklyn, and he would only do 4 whole hogs a day. indoors in Brooklyn.
Oh my God.
And it took like 2 months to get a table at this guy's place. So he comes out to LA, opens up this restaurant here, and Carl took me there the other day. This is the one of the best steaks I've ever had. Adam took me under the restaurant to his man cave, which he has a man cave under the restaurant. We drank like a $5,000 bottle of bourbon, and he took me to the meat dry aging room, which has 17,000 pounds of dry aging meat in it. This is off the chain.
Wow.
So I'm any excuse Holy. To go to this place. So, totally, 100%.
Sell Arnold, another car. Let's go twice.
Whoever you are, Arnold Shanghai, dinner on me with Zach at Adam Perry Lang Hollywood. Tickets to Radwood if you want to bring the car to Radwood. If you want to come
should.
To Radwood.
I hope he does.
Yeah, if he's local, if he's local, totally do it. Yeah. But, all right. I mean, it was a bit, the drama, they lacked the drama at the end, but.
Yeah, but it was.
I kind of appreciated the gentle release because I felt there was too much drama in Andrew's story, and I was still very tense from that. So
if it had been that and then the DeLorean day, it would have been
my God.
Day.
Too much intensity.
And Randy said that the auction page, the Bring a Trailer auction page, had over 100,000 page views,
Damn.
Which for a Bring a Trailer auction page is pretty extraordinary.
Yeah,
so, oh, here, wait. Oh, there we go. Oh, and Bring a Trailer added. They just text. They're 5%. Bring a Trailer is adding the 5%, which is $32.50, and they are giving that to Hope for Paws as well.
Oh, cool!
Bring a Trailer is donating the commission as well. That's
so
great.
Gonna rescue the fuck out
of
some
animals.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
thank
so
you
many
so
dogs.
Much. Yeah, dude, that goes a long way in dogs.
Oh yeah,
that's
a lot of
awesome.
Pups. Yeah,
that's so nice, man. Thank you to everybody who played along and commented and. You know, even the people who were just commenting about my fucking tax status. There was a few of those. But you know what? That's spectacular. That's really nice. Well, the auction has ended. We got a bunch of Super Chat questions, though. You guys want to talk about other
Super
cars
chat.
For a minute?
Sure.
Let's go to some of those. What else we got? What do we got, Zach?
We got a lot of much love. Cheers to the next chapter. Matt, since the Mustang is gone, is there another project you would like to do in the future?
No. The best thing about the Safari car is I put it on a truck, it was gone, and then it's going to come back. It's done. There's nothing in between. I don't see it. I don't touch it.
Wow.
Just gone.
Must be
and then
nice.
It appears. Dude, I mean, yeah, it is nice. It is nice. But I work really hard so that
no,
other
we're
people
not saying
can
no,
be good
not
at their
no.
job.
Yeah. No.
If it was me trying to do this shit.
Oh, dude, I'm not knocking you for outsourcing. I do that too, for sure.
My friend Bozy, who just did a fucking gearbox in 90 minutes, 2 days in a row at Mid-Ohio, he pays people to change his oil.
Yeah.
Really? He doesn't change his own oil. Yeah, because he knows what his time is worth.
Yeah.
It's worth more than the guy's time who's changing his oil.
Oh, yeah. You really got to, like, want to work on your car.
Or need to.
I don't know. I mean, if I didn't marry a mechanic, I really don't know what I would be driving right now. I mean, I just don't actually have the skills to keep as many cars as I have running.
Really? Do we give you more credit than you deserve for keeping those?
I give you all
the credit for keeping those cars running. Is it really your husband?
Well, I mean, he's the smarts. I can change oil and all that stuff. I'm going to do all that. But, you know, if there's an actual problem that's more complicated than, you know, it's overheating or it needs spark plugs or something, you know, I mean, I might be able to do it if you gave me many days, but he can do it in like 8 minutes or maybe on the phone. So,
yeah.
Oh, that's very helpful. Yeah. That is helpful. Does he enjoy it or does he do it?
He doesn't like driving. He doesn't like really like car shows. He likes working on cars.
He likes
really
the accomplishment
machining.
Of repairing.
Sure. Yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah.
There are folks like that really like the project is the I've built something or I've fixed something. Not me. I just want to drive it.
Yeah, bless those people I just want to drive it too.
I keep people like that employed. People are all like, you're going to work on your own cars. Like, do you like what BBI Autosport does? Because I keep their fucking lights on down there. Like, oh, that's cool, man. What else we got?
All right. This person lives in Phoenix. They don't have immediate access to fun roads. They're looking for a GT car for weekend trips. Sold their 997 C2S. Thinking V8 Vantage.
Ooh, yeah. I would say
V8
Vantage, too.
Is there they should look at?
Let's see. A V8 Vantage, let's call that a $50,000 to $60,000 car. You can look at a used BMW M6. That like the nicest V10 M6 in the world is that much
the
with a stick.
The Vantage is pretty small inside
small.
And trunk wise.
Yeah,
I mean the Porsche is too, but that at least had a backseat Vantage.
You might also look at DB9s. I mean DB9s have a V12. They're same idea, just a little bigger.
Same maintenance.
Anyone else want to throw a log on this fire?
I mean
used M5.
Yeah, used M car of any type.
I mean, if he's in Arizona, I mean, like Corvette, you're just going straight
That's
a lot
true.
Of the time.
That's true. Anyway, like, Corvettes are good GT cars.
They are.
They're comfortable. They got a big trunk. You could take the roof off. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, this person's looking at a lot of like long haul rides. It would not be bad.
VA Vantages, though, are a lot of car for the money. They're very pretty. They're made pretty well. Yeah. They're reasonably reliable.
Yeah. Probably going to appreciate a little bit if you get a manual.
Especially because the new one's not the best.
I agree. Completely agree with you.
Yeah. What about
CTS-V out there?
Or one of those Jag XK120s?
Oh, yeah.
A Jag XKR?
Oh, yeah.
I was just, yeah,
a
XK,
Jag XKR.
Fun car.
They're cool. They're really fun. Yeah. Fuck, you might be an F-type. Yeah, you're deep into F-type money.
I would not do F-type for GT.
GT card now.
Stiff.
Too
trunk
little.
Is tiny. It's stiff. True. It's not, the interior's not going to be nice.
It doesn't have that big lope engine either. Like, to me, a proper GT car has a big engine where you're, like, don't have any, it's like the opposite. You want, like,
under
no
stress.
RPM. You just want, quarter throttle, 90 miles an hour. I mean, it seems like this person is more interested in sports and Euro, but...
Yeah,
You know, there's always Hellcat Charger.
Or how about like
yeah, true. Seriously, about, get a freaking Challenger.
A Hellcat. Or how about like an SL 65 Benz?
Yeah,
or an SL,
or
like
an SL 55.
Yeah,
or
any of those
or
big
E Class AMG.
Yeah, E Class Wagen.
Could
be fun.
If you can find an E Class.
Yeah, those are all good options. But I also like, if your first thought is VA Vantage, that's a good choice too.
Oh, so pretty.
Thoughts on the Mazda RX-8, Jeff? They're not good. They're not. It's all the performance of a four-cylinder with the fuel economy of a V8 and the reliability of an 80s Italian car.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah, the rotaries are not good engines.
They're just not. They're fun if you have a really well-built turbo one, but the RX-8 ain't that.
No. But the chassis is awesome, and the steering was good.
I would say suck it up and get a right-hand drive RX-7 before getting an RX-8. That's how I would do it.
Makes sense.
Whoa, Samuel dropping a Benjamin on this question for extra letters.
We better answer this
question. What does that say? I can't read it from here, sorry.
Any first car purchase advice for a 6'4" video producer in New York City? I love fast German wagons, but I don't want to spend more than $65,000, and AMG wagons seem like a huge investment. Is there anything to modifying a 535 XI or bringing an A6 back to life? Most new wagons are underpowered.
I did a video with a 535. I don't remember if it was an XI or just an I, but it was fucking fast. It was like 450 horsepower. It had turbos on it and stuff. Like, anything you can do to a 335, you can do to a 535 pretty much.
And that engine's ridiculous.
That engine's rad. So, like, I would say, yes, there is definitely value in a 535 sleeper status. You can make a really nice quiet one, too.
Well, and then this guy, 6'4", is a definite... 6'4" and loves wagons is a definite candidate for a CTS-V wagon.
Totally.
True.
You can fit that.
But I would say New York City, wintertime, rear-wheel drive, et cetera, et cetera.
Sissy.
Winter tires.
I mean...
What about a Grand Cherokee SRT?
And 11 miles
per day. I would also... I'd start thinking about SUVs, maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
it'd be 6'4".
Durango RT... Well, the RT is only rear-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Durango's really nice.
Durango
RT. SRT Jeep. X5M used Cayenne turbos, CPO, definitely CPO.
Just get an old used AMG wagon. It's expensive, but it's awesome.
I mean, I love fast, but
that would
don't
be
spend...
like, that would be that would depend on your access to a trustworthy mechanic, I would say.
Can you not spend less than 65 and get yourself a certified or like an extended warranty on an AMG wagon?
You
I feel
totally
like
get
you
one
probably could,
yeah,
right?
An older one, yeah. Not like super new.
No, but like, didn't Doug DeMuro get one for a reasonable amount of money with a extended warranty? Should I text Doug?
Yeah, see what he paid for that thing.
I should.
It's probably on one of his blogs or whatever.
It probably is.
And he's going to be
he
like, can you look
earlier.
At my channel?
Yeah.
Doug is coming in,
smash
by the way, for those
button.
Who care, because of this. Doug is, no offense, ladies and gentlemen, our most requested guest is Doug. Again, he's coming
offended.
In Saturday. I'm sorry, Sunday, October 28th at about 6 p.m. our time is when Doug will be in studio.
Check
Yo,
it out.
What did you pay for your
There's
Benz?
One for $34,000.
Well, yeah, so there's a 2012 AMG. Pictures aren't great
looks
for
a little
34,
rough,
but for 58, there's a 2015 wagon 4MATIC.
Oh, hell yeah.
There you go.
I mean,
yeah, with how much, how many miles?
That's it.
60.
That's
a lot. But maybe you could still maybe get a CPO. Oh, wait, hang on. Doug's getting back to me. He responds to texts very quickly. He's a good dude. I like
he's
Doug.
He's just sitting looking at his phone. I know.
Yeah, he's just refreshing,
him.
Waiting for me to text.
He's like, I'm just counting money. That's
alternating Carfax, VIN numbers, and I take advantage of his unlimited Carfax all the fucking time. We'll get back to that with... when Doug gets back to me. But yes, I think you can get a fun Mercedes for under 65, but I like Alana's CTSV move too.
Yeah.
Also check out that the 535 is a good move. Also SRT8 Jeeps are a good move, especially in New York City. Fucking hell. Thank you, Samuel. Luis says, I daily drive a 1970 Toyota Corona Mark II. How lame is that?
I like it. Not lame.
Yeah, not lame at all.
Not lame at all. Bought it for $4,000 and put another $4,000 into it. Luis, do not sell yourself short, my brother. Can you give me a picture of what a 70 Corona Mark II looks like? Can you? I can't picture that. Can you?
It's the big one, right?
Is that the big one?
I mean, big relatively.
Yeah.
Didn't they start big and get shittier up until about the early 80s? That thing is fucking rad. Yeah. Is that really what you drive? That thing is cool.
I like it.
Dude, that thing rules.
It's like the progenitor of the Celica, I guess.
Oh, here we go.
It's got like a Datsun look to it.
Oh, look at that.
Right?
That
like
is glorious.
Okay, here, I'm going to go back to...
The front is ugly.
I like
it. No, I think it's cute. I like its weird little angle.
Round headlights like God intended.
Okay.
I can't get wound up right now.
It's got a little bit of a gremlin front end.
Thank you, which is not... the most sought after front end of the
also
world.
Cute.
But the back, the C pillar is awesome.
Yeah,
it's
that
got
is
great slope. That's awesome. It's,
nice
it's
mirror.
That miniature muscle car shape.
I feel like we have reached a point where anyone who drives anything from 1970, anything, that's cool. Like,
yeah,
that's automatic.
It,
cool.
It actually doesn't
enough.
Matter.
You know?
Yep.
Yeah, it's old enough that it's cool. Wait, so.
Oh, it's adorable.
I think it's pretty great, man.
Yeah.
Actually, it's got a lot of Corvair in that, doesn't it?
Kind
of,
yeah.
It's got a lot of Corvair in it.
The back is Datsun and the front is maybe more Pacer than Gremlin.
Mark II. That's a contradiction.
Right.
Luxurious and economical.
Yeah,
afraid of global warming is like the photo watermark.
I'm gonna go back to Samuel real quick because Doug got back to me. He got it's a 2012. He bought it in 2017. Paid $43,000 with 1 year of CPO, paid another $4,000 to extend the CPO for two more years for three total. So the facelifted ones are a little more money. But if you get a 2014 and earlier, a 2014, you could still get it a CPO'd. It's not too old.
Nice. Which you definitely want.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. So that and Doug, he asterisked it by saying, I love it and abuse the shit out of it.
So don't buy it from Doug.
Yeah.
Don't buy Doug's.
When he auctions his off.
He's doing all right. He got that. He bought Carl Brower's GT. You can take that off the.
I want to see what
those are
price differences. Only because it seems like a 535 wagon probably way cheaper.
So much cheaper.
Looks
and
like you're right.
You could mod it. I mean, this is an 08, which is, you know, seven years older, and it's $7,000.
Yeah, that's a big delta.
You don't want one of those, though.
No, you don't.
Yeah. That's a big delta.
I just wanted to see, like, you could probably save a lot of money if you don't get an AMG, but you just make sure it's new enough and you have money.
Right. All right.
To fix it.
But that did not click over, Zach.
Why is our
shit not clicking over properly, dude?
I have to click five times all
Yo,
the time.
The Studio B does not
Anybody
have
work
this
at
problem.
Wirecast?
All right. What would be the more expensive valve job? A Bugatti EB110, which is a 5-valve V12, or a Chiseta V16? Jesus. Is a Chiseta 4 valves?
I have no idea.
I bet Bugatti because Bugatti.
Who
would you get to work on either one?
Chiseta C16.
It would have
I don't
to
even
be
know where you'd
totally
find
custom.
That. I mean,
yeah, someone would have to fabricate it, I'm sure.
So if you had to do a valve job on a Bugatti EB110, I'm guessing five. I mean, that's 60 valves. It's $1,000 a valve. So you're talking 60 Gs.
Oh, you've priced this before?
That's just what it is on a Countach. I know what it is on a Countach, unfortunately. Yeah, if you have to replace the valve, it's $1,000 a valve. Ugh. It's even more because you can get my car has the stainless steel valve upgrade. That was $1,000 a valve. If you want, you can also get Inconel upgrades, which is $1,500 a valve.
Jeez.
Where did you go?
I didn't do it. The guy I bought the car from did it, and GTO Engineering did it, which you probably heard of. They build all the engines for everyone who races at the Monterey Historics. You know, the guys have their their 250 GTO. They put the original engine on a stand and they race with the
with
the fucking engine from GTO Engineering. Yeah, those guys are rad, dude. I went over there to check on the car.
God, look at that.
Jesus Christ.
It looks like they just shoved like two V8s together.
Yeah.
They definitely did.
That looks like an actual joke.
That's so fucking
like a Lego.
Funny.
So is it $1,000 a valve for part only, I'm guessing? Not installation.
No, that was parts with install. Oh, it was okay. Parts with install, yeah. I don't think the part is $1,000, but that would be crazy. $1,000 just for one valve? I'm going to go with Chiseta is more expensive, because who the fuck would even work on that?
I'll disagree. I think you could bring that to one of those master mechanic people who can fix anything, and they'll just measure the valves, and they'll go, it'll be like the Bosch thing.
Yeah,
and they'll
go,
I can, this is from this. But the Bugatti one, you have to take to
them.
That's
true.
Yeah,
that's
what I bet. I would also guess that Bugatti would be more.
Who the fuck would service an EB110?
You'd have to fly that shit to France.
Could you even get like a Bugatti dealer to, you have to ship it to France,
who
right?
Who is a Bugatti? I've never seen a Bugatti store. I've seen a Pagani.
I mean,
but
there's I know of like two places where you could buy one. Gera.
Okay.
And here in LA, you can get a Veyron from, or a Chiron, and Miller Motor Cars in Connecticut, you can get one from. Manhattan Motor Cars as well.
They have vending machines in Japan too.
And in Dubai. In Dubai, it comes out, but it's on the way out, it goes through a gold wrap.
Do they service everything there too at like O'Gara's? And
I don't know how they service. I know at Miller Motor Cars in Connecticut, they can do everything for a Veyron, but they have to ship the fucking wheels and tires back to France to get them remounted. That's dumb.
Because they have to have French air in them.
They have to. Because smells Evian, better in France. Because I don't know.
If you let the air out, it smells like French bread. It's delicious.
Because the French can just want to make you wait longer for everything. What else we got, Zach? Check out our Facebook page. No, thank you. I'm sorry. That's a good marketing tactic. Homie tried to get me to shout out his page for just $20. Costs more than that to advertise on the Smoking Tire, brother. Sorry. Tell
Mariah to let Josh buy car parts.
I don't know what that means.
Oh,
Mariah.
His name is Josh.
Oh.
Well, so, all right, Mariah, have a conversation with Josh, and you tell him what you want to purchase, and then you guys make a deal where it's you get whatever it is you want for each car part that he buys. That's the way it works.
I like your methods. That's good. My fiance doesn't have an issue with me buying car parts, or cars for that matter, but I also cook her dinner every night.
Yeah, it's just nice. It's just a give and take. Whatever it is, it doesn't necessarily have to literally be a purchase for a purchase.
Right. It could be cunnilingus for a purchase, for example. Are you doing that, Josh?
I've owned a lot of cars.
Dante says, I just bought a Focus ST. It has intercooler and exhaust and a downpipe with an ECU tuner. Should I do more go-fast parts or will I ruin the car?
Where do you live? What are the roads like? What are you doing with it?
I mean,
all these questions.
I would say, are your brakes in order? Do you have, you know, stainless steel lines and good pad and fluid? Do you have the Mountain short shift kit is really nice on the Focus ST and RS. But I don't think you need to do too much more than that. Don't ruin your daily driver
good
by turning into a race car. Good tires.
Yeah.
Andrew knows. Good tires.
It's all about those tires.
Michelin. Just get the Michelins. Hashtag just get the Michelins.
You don't need to make it go faster now. Build the things around it.
Right.
Yeah, at a certain point, like, I drove like a guy's like 450 horsepower Focus ST race car, and it was like, dude, a stock Corvette would beat this thing around the track. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? At a certain point, you're just ruining your daily driver.
Right.
I wouldn't do that. Your performance angle looks good. Maybe a short shift kit, maybe some brakes, some tires, and you're good to go. Camera's blocking that
one. Hey,
one's
Matt,
right.
You drove my Celica GT4 about a year
ago. Oh, the black one. That thing
I'm
was red.
Decide whether to keep it somewhat stock or preserve its value and just go full race car with cage and Castro livery, etc.
Oh,
would be fun to rally or hill climb.
Oh boy, that was a really nice car. It would be that car was super clean and in really good condition. It would be a shame to cut that one up to build a race car. There's other GT4s out there that are probably a little rattier than yours, and if you really wanted a race car, I wouldn't. That one was. I remember that car being very nice and well refined and comfortable and quiet. Man, I would. It would not that I'm. You know, I just cut up a perfectly good 911. But is that the video? Yeah,
oh,
look at that.
Oh,
look at that
yeah.
guy's car. That
oh,
thing
that
is really pretty and really clean. And it was a really nice street car. I wouldn't cut that one up, man.
No way. You could find a salvage title one and make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would find one that's more fucked somewhere because yours was too, yours was legit too nice to turn into a race car.
The only way that I would disagree would be if you're talking, if you've got like full on rally series and hill climbs in mind and you are planning to really be at every single race, like where you're going more than six races a year and you're trying to win, because it is true that the nicer the car you start with when you're building a race car, the nicer the race car that you end up with.
Okay.
But if you're not planning to really devote yourself to the racing, that car is probably much more valuable as a street car. And like the dudes are saying, like, just buy a crappy one.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be a piece of shit, but this one was particularly clean and it had a great interior and it didn't have any rattles. And it was like, it was, oh man, it's too nice. It was such a great street car. I wouldn't cut that one up. But thank you for your question. You think you can find one on?
I don't think those are, that
dude came down from Canada, I think. I don't think those are available in America yet. I think you can only get the older ones in America. Art from Radwood got one of the older ones. I don't think those are old enough yet. Because did they sell those GT4s?
I think they only sold the ones with the flip-up lights. In
right.
The US. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing on eBay.
Yeah, no. We didn't have that.
No, you'd have to get the older ones in America.
In fact, that body style is really rare in any configuration.
Dude,
I feel like. When's the last time you saw one?
Never see those. They're so fucking rare.
Never see that.
Totally underappreciated when they were new, I think.
I don't know, but they look cool.
Regular 96 says, here's a few bucks to get a Fwing.
Oh, a Fwing. Well, thank you. I think they want me to get a Fwing on the Countach, like from Cannonball Run. Like, oh, nah. God.
For Safari Snowboard, there's a ski resort
in the Angeles National Forest. Yeah, in Wrightwood. There is one up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you know what I'm going to do for skis? I was going to get that basket thing, the Safari basket.
Yeah.
But then I was like, how often am I going to use that will it whistle on the highway?
Always. Roof racks are so fucking loud.
They're stupid if you don't need them.
They are.
So Jeff Glucker was all about the suction cup bike rack.
Ooh.
And they have a suction cup ski rack.
Perfect.
That would be perfectly fine. So I'll get the suction. And suction cups here. We can make that work. Thank you. Beef Supreme says, what else from my collection will be departing to make room for the Countach? The Focus RS is on its way out.
So you still have that Mercedes?
Yeah, the Mercedes I have to keep for now.
Okay.
It's outside because it's the only automatic car I've got, and Hannah needs to drive it.
Okay.
So it's really more her car now than my car. She likes it. She just drove it to Palm Springs this weekend.
So it's got that Lamborghini and
Safari, Focus RS. And then I have an Aston Martin back east.
Okay, but you're going to sell a Focus.
Yeah, either the lease is up in June, but the dude, I met a guy this past weekend in Ohio who's a friend of the Baruths and who came to hang out at the track. His name's Clayton. He owns my old ST.
Oh, right. You just said
and
that.
And he actually wants to buy the Focus RS.
Got
to
complete the set.
Dude, if he wants it, I would love it for it to go to someone who's excited about it because it's a really nice car, but the seating position is so painful for me. I can't drive it, so it sits and sits and sits, and I write a fucking check for it every month. It sucks.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, really frustrating. So Craig says, thank you for encouragement on filming as I finish 45 episodes reviewing drift cars for Driftland TV. That's fantastic. 45 episodes is like, that's real work.
It's a lot.
Like, you have gone out and done work.
I haven't done 45 episodes of anything.
Yes, you have. I just picked up the new sports car market, which you were a contributor in, Alana. I didn't know you were writing for Sports Car Market.
I'll write for anyone who pays me. Actually, I really like those guys. Those guys have been so fun to work with.
Dude, Sports Car Market's rad. That's like my new favorite magazine, actually. I love their editorials on the post-auction analysis. Like, this was well bought or well sold. I love that shit.
They have a partner magazine that's muscle car stuff. American Car Collector, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah, there you go. That's right up your alley. Mm-hmm. Craig's question was, I'm looking at filming road cars. Do you insure each of the one-take cars? No. You paid, his donation was in pounds, so I don't know how it works in England, but in America, insurance goes with the car and not with the driver. So, you can get a production insurance policy. Zach, do you know what the premium on a production insurance policy is? It's expensive.
A lot. Tens of thousands.
It's a ton.
For change of vector a year.
Yeah, it's a ton of money but I don't. Typically, if you're driving someone's car and they've allowed you to drive that car and it has full coverage, you're just covered if you crash it.
And insuring insuring independently owned cars on racetracks is incredibly difficult. We found one company in the country that was willing to do it.
Wow. What do they charge for a premium?
Way too much.
Really?
It was like, they're basically writing a policy that would like work, mm-hmm. but it, you know, so if this person, I mean, if he's track drifting people's cars, he should just know that about America. But yeah, the insurance goes with the car here.
Yeah, the hardest part with the thing that didn't get talked about a lot with doing all those one take videos of borrowed cars is I really had to be prepared to write a check for someone's car. I never had to, really. Actually, in New Zealand, I did. I had to write small little checks. I broke a couple mm-hmm. little things, but like I had to be ready to write a check for a car, and I fortunately never had to do it. But that sort of comes with the territory. It's one of those things.
That's why I have three passports.
No,
or be prepared to run away.
It's relevant because I've been thinking about it since going freelance, because I was so spoiled, because when I was at Hot Rod and I was at Roadkill, I was covered under the mm-hmm. like a big, huge corporation yeah. insurance policy. So if I drove stuff, and now people ask me like, oh, do you want to drive this? Do you want to drive this? I'm like, nope, because I can't afford it if I break it, you know?
Yeah. That's you have to be very careful with that kind of stuff. And, you know, I am lucky and, you know, lucky sperm club and whatnot. And most cars I drive, if I had to fucking pay for them, I could. It would suck, but
right.
I could.
Right.
And so, you know.
Luckily, anyone who sues me only gets an Opel GT and right. a giant oil leak. Right.
Right
now, so.
Yeah. Have a shell company somewhere, maybe in the Seychelles or whatever. I recommend that. But
it's like giving someone like an old pet or a grandparent. You're like, all right, here's my BMW. Now it needs this kind of oil. Yeah. Yeah. Check engine lights, come on and go, depending if it's hungry.
Totally. Ditch 66666 says
sent you a Merc V12 Miata last night. They have more info if you were interested.
Lana, were you here when we talked about this? When someone kept bringing up they wanted to swap a V12 Merc engine into anything.
No.
Yeah, like the S600 motor.
Yeah.
I guess they found one on a stand for like $2,000. And like, what should I put this in? And we're all like, nothing. It's a fucking giant boat anchor. Well, that guy sent me pictures of someone who put one into a Miata. And if you can imagine what a Mercedes V12 looks like in the front
of
it.
So how much of the Miata is even left? Like, are the fenders on it?
The bodywork was on it.
Wow.
And it had really ugly, like, blingy, chromey wheels on it, too. But, like, just think about what the weight distribution would be like of a Miata with a Mercedes V12 in the front of it.
It's
like,
so good.
It'd be terrible. It wouldn't actually be good.
I mean, like, I'm imagining that they put the engine in and the car just went like...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it would be a disaster. Like, the LS swap works in the Miata because it's light.
Yeah, the great thing about the Miata is the weight balance.
Yeah.
And, like, how it feels. You just ruin that.
Yeah. It sounds terrible, but, I appreciate his offer to send more info, but frankly, it just looks awful.
It would look awful
when I see it, and that looks awful.
It would look like a hammer throw going through the air, you know, just like a giant ball and just dragging his chain.
By the power of Thor.
It sounds very drag race ready, though.
Yeah.
Looking at so someone wants a monthly autocross and track day car with more practicality and MPG than their G Coupe 6M. And they're looking at a Camaro 2.0 1LE, Mustang EcoBoost with performance package, BRZ, or a Miata RF PP.
Hmm. And what is it? Autocross and some track days?
Monthly autocross and some track days. They want better MPG and they're commuting in it.
All right. Well, question number one, do you need a backseat ever? If so, Miata and BRZ are off the table.
I would just say Miata's off the table. It's not a practical car.
No,
like,
it's
I love
not.
Them, but you can't fit shit in that trunk.
Neither is a BRZ. They suck to drive on the highway.
I'm sorry.
Loud.
They're so uncomfortable on the freeway.
Yeah, they're loud. I would say that Camaro 1LE is actually pretty dope.
I would choose the Camaro over the EcoBoost for sure. I've driven the EcoBoost with the performance pack, and I think it's probably pretty fun, I guess, as a track car, but it's not... It's not very good as a daily driver.
Really?
And yeah.
Does toot not have power or?
No, it's just like really, really, really wants to be a performance car. So it's extremely rough riding.
But then it has no power.
But it has no power. Oh, and
the best of both worlds.
I mean, it might be better with a manual, but with the 10 speed, it's just like, oh, you let off the gas. Do you want to drop four gears?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I drove a stick one on the track and it was not great. The Mustang.
Interesting.
The Camaro 2.0 1LE, I haven't driven on the track, but this dude, Matt Busby, you might remember him from NCM when we did the Z06. He was that cool guy who hooked up the track when we went to Kentucky to do the Z06.
Yeah, yeah.
He showed me the line in one of those, and I was very impressed with it on the track.
I would go
Camaro.
Yeah, I've driven the 2.0 on the track. I mean, it's not as good as the bigger engine, but...
Right.
But yeah,
but it was okay.
It's not bad, and it's a comfortable car on the street as well.
Make sure you fit in it with helmet.
This is the thing where it really is like, you know, you're trying to do two things. You're going to give up a little bit because obviously the Miata or the BRZ would be a better autocross car.
Right.
You know, you're is always better.
Yeah. I would assume that the 1LE would be better autocross than the Mustang, just having driven both chassis platforms. Mm-hmm. The Camaro platform is just better.
It is. All right, thank you. Mateo says, Zach.
Can you watch Drive Zach Without Cable? Not yet. They always put it. Well, one thing, you could get YouTube TV, like do the free trial and watch it. That's what I've done.
You should plug Drive, by the way.
That's true. New season of Drive started last night, yesterday, and we've got 7 episodes. It's running every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific.
What's the most exciting thing we're going to see you do?
Riding shotgun while a 14-year-old drifts was pretty
awesome.
Interesting, and he's pretty good. But it was like, if he's bad at this, I'm gonna find out against the wall. But he's very good. His name's Gabe Correa. You can find him on Instagram, and he's 14.
Wow.
And he drifts out at Club Loose, and he's gotten way better just in like the 2 months since I rode with him, which is pretty rad.
That's cool. And JF is going to be in here on Wednesday.
Oh, nice.
We're doing it live at, what time do we say?
I think like 3.
2 or 3 in the afternoon. JF will be here talking about Drive. And he finally gets, we actually get to talk about, now that Emil's in prison, we actually get to talk about what happened to the Drive Network.
Yes.
Finally.
Oh, wow.
People got all mad because you couldn't talk about it,
right.
But there was like litigation. Like,
yeah,
you literally
right.
couldn't. So we will actually get to tell the story of the beginning, middle, and end of the Drive Network and why Emil Rensing is now in federal power. Me in the ass prison. Thank God. What is that? The camera is totally blocking that one, Zach.
Okay.
So you got to read it.
40,000. Someone's got a 40,000 mile per year commute. They live in northern Minnesota.
Holy
shit! They want
shit.
Something fun to drive under $35,000.
Northern Minnesota. That's a WRX.
Totally. Get a seat,
right?
Yeah.
Or Challenger all-wheel drive.
Good luck. Really? No.
Shut up. Okay, I'll give you a comfortable commute car. But
yeah,
man, I hate the weight balance.
What's another?
Cars.
What are all the good, fun, all-wheel drive sedans that get reasonable fuel economy? There's only one. Isn't it just the WRX?
WRX.
Pretty much.
Or Crosstrek. Those must be really fun, but
they're so slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun if your idea of fun is like driving around the woods, and that is fun, but like if you want a performance car, it ain't that.
Because 35 doesn't get you into anything good and German, does it?
Not
unless
new.
You're going used.
Unless
it,
yeah.
Does it get you into an all-wheel drive Lexus IS 250?
You
is that
could
worth
get a,
or the 200T?
You get a lightly used S3. That one I drove with all the mods, the guy bought it new for like 30.
But do you
31.
Really want to could put 40,000 miles a year on an S3?
No, that's 1 year worth of S3-ing,
yeah.
I think. I think you need a Subaru.
Yeah.
Right?
What about Jeepy stuff? Or
oh, yeah.
What about what?
Like
a Jeep?
Yeah.
40,000 miles in a Jeep. Not a Wrangler.
No, yeah. Grand Cherokee for sure.
Yeah, I guess.
But that's not super. Well, I guess the SRT, but.
They're
not that fun.
No, it's not that fun.
Subaru is where it's at with this one, I think.
I think Subaru WRX is the answer. Nothing new under the sun there, unfortunately, my friend. Where'd it go?
E46 wagon or NAMB Miata.
What?
Those are very different. Or other suggestions. They want a fun daily. First car I buy coming out of a Mark 1 Focus 5-speed.
Wait a minute.
Wait, what? Okay.
It's asking about a BMW wagon or
versus
a Miata. Like... Guys, listen, I want to help, but fucking, can
this
you,
is
we
all
gotta,
on the map.
Pickup truck or Volkswagen Beetle?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
what should
we
I do?
Need to
what
know I usage, right? We need to know.
We've
do you
said
have
over
a family?
And over.
Are you big? Are you tall?
Yeah. Miatas are not good dailies.
No.
Like, they're just not.
No.
Even a brand new Miata is
just,
not a good daily.
It's not.
And no NA is brand
there,
new.
It's a good daily if you are a small person who has some, like, a digital lifestyle career.
Yeah.
Like if everything that you need to do is the size of a laptop, then you're fine.
Yeah.
But if you have any sort of hobbies or requirements that are like gardening or you know, or furniture or
going
know,
to Costco and buying
deflate.
Groceries
yeah,
once
like,
in a while.
Like
basketball.
Huge amounts of groceries. I mean you can fit if you're by yourself, you can fit, you know, a proper amount of groceries in a Miata because you've got the trunk and the front seat. And if like me or like Laura Conrad, you have room behind the driver's seat when you're driving.
I don't
driving.
Even know what that's like.
There's actually a fair amount of room back there.
I also think that...
I fit a sewing machine in one.
Miatas are fucking loud. the wind noise, like it's really hard to have a Bluetooth phone call in a Miata.
RF helps a lot, but yeah.
It helps a lot, but it's still like louder than I was expecting because it's a lightweight car.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say E46 BMWs, if it works properly and if you have money left over for some repairs, right, Zach?
Totally. Or you can get like a 330. You know, you don't have to go M3 money. Get like a 330. It's a coupe, so it'll be more fun than a wagon.
Someone at AER had the spec E46. That seemed very appealing as a race car. Spec E46 is fucking rad. I drove Bill's. It was awesome. It was great fun. I'll tell you what though, anyone who ever talks about the sweet song of a fucking BMW inline six, sit on the side of one AER race. it'll be ruined.
They don't sound good.
Oh man, dude, so AER is like, you know, it's a step above chump car, right? So there's cars that will qualify in chump car, like, you know, old E30s and E36s and stuff like that, and double Fox bodies and whatever. But there's also like World Challenge Caymans and Corvettes and Mustangs. Someone brought a fucking 458 Challenge. It was that race wife chick.
Oh, wow.
You know her?
Yeah.
She's the wife of the Google executive that has the LaFerraris and stuff. So she brought like a whole team a fucking 458 Challenge. And you know, it's a team sport. So she wasn't the only one driving. Okay. Is that a picture from?
Oh, she's got a dog.
Yeah, that's... that's not the car.
Jesus,
that's
look
the
at
car
that
on
thing.
The left there, the yellow and blue one with the wing.
God. That's
they brought this to fucking mid Ohio.
Look at that
and I
thing.
Saw their crew at in the gas station. I was like, brought a nuclear weapon to a knife fight, huh? Like, and they lapped.
Wow.
Obviously they led the field, right? This car, I don't know who was driving at the time, but it lapped the last place car in four laps of the race.
Whoa.
And then crashed.
Oh,
crashed out.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
It crashed out. We beat it.
Yeah.
Because it crashed out.
Beautiful machine.
It was fucking dope.
You want to know what a BMW sounds like when it goes by? Ask six kids to do their homework all at once. And they all go, they're so, they don't
sound actually
good.
Very funny.
Everyone
that's
tries to
a really good
this.
Joke, Zach.
That was good.
Like, you write that at home?
I write in my head right
that's
now.
That's really good.
He doesn't know anything that you just said because he was busy working on that
He was
joke.
Working that one out.
No, I thought
that's
of it before
good.
The race by thing. But
that's very funny.
So you can bring... The field seems very broad.
It is. Well, there's five classes, right? So you can bring almost any, you know, race car, and they'll put you, and then and qualifying day, you go out and you run laps, and they class you by your lap time. So, you know, we weren't in class two because we had a Miata. We were in class two because we ran between 146 and 150, right? So you bring anything, and they'll, if it's got the safety equipment and whatever, they'll find a class for you. I don't think you could bring... I mean, actually, this is the fastest car I've ever seen brought out to one of these. There was like two World Challenge Corvettes at Road Atlanta, and there's the Caymans, and there's someone brought a fucking 964 race car, was racing it. It was like, boss.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's badass.
But there's a bunch of stuff.
Huh.
All right.
Okay. Lakshya. Right? Lakshya?
Lakshya. Pratap. Any suggestions for a street and occasional HPD manual car for 20 grand? I'm looking at Z4 35i's.
No.
135.
No,
it's
not good.
35i.
No, I drove on a track. It was not good.
Yes to 135.
The 135 is good.
Yeah. 370Z Nismo.
No.
Or
No. 135i with mods. Look up Alex Bernstein. He's got all the fucking mods. He'll probably sell you his.
His car is insane.
His car is rad, dude. You can make those things go fast as fuck. Yeah, he was running really good lap times at Willow Springs in his 135i. Very underrated. Nobody wants them because they're kind of weird looking.
It's not quite the M. It's
they're
like,
really
I don't
know,
like
but they're
it.
So fast.
Yeah, like 3,100 pounds. They're really light.
Are they? I don't think they're that light.
They're pretty
really?
Light.
Really? 3,100
I'm
pounds.
I'm probably wrong.
They are sweet.
3,100 seems really light. I don't think they're that light. But they are lighter than a 3 Series.
Oh, 33.
That's pretty light, man.
3,300 is pretty good.
For a modern car.
Take out the back seat. Put some mods on it. Good engine. Yeah. The Nismo.
Oh, shit. No. Someone just hit me up on Instagram messages and says, Rentec, of all people, services the Bugatti EB110 in the United States.
Wow.
Shout out to Hartmut and shout out to Mad Nomad on Instagram.
Cool.
Your comment did get lost in the mix. And yeah, Rentec,
that's
of
awesome.
All people. We have the hookup there. Yay, Hartmut.
They're fun.
Yeah.
Should I swap my 89 Mark III Supra with a 3UZ V8, a 2JZ, or sell it for a 280Z?
Oh, God. You're selling it for something worse?
Yeah. You should
just
sell
enjoy
it
your
else.
Supra.
Sell it and get something better or enjoy it.
Yeah. Or sell it. Yeah. There's.
Yeah.
I think...
Don't put it too jazzy.
That's
there.
Not a platform that's worth investing the time for. I don't think. Is it?
That's,
I mean...
No, it's everybody's... Like, I've seen those drifted in track, but it's someone's starting point.
Right.
It's never like...
I mean, if you just drive it and enjoy it as like a slow-ish, like, T-top car... Whatever, but
like
yeah.
if it's broken, like if it has no engine yeah. in it right now, yeah. and you're deciding what engine
right,
to put in
right,
it,
right.
like all
right.
The very next question is, what's your prediction on Mark III Supra's value jumping up with the whole '80s
no.
trend?
Well,
They're
it's not
ugly.
Good now because I mean, yeah,
no,
they
no,
just totally ripped on them.
If they, I mean, look, if they haven't gone up yet. They're not
well,
really good. The Mark IV
Radwood
Supra
tax.
Is so much better.
Yes,
and
but so much more expensive.
Yeah, but now you can get it from Japan. Now you can get an RHD. You know,
I think he's thinking about the Radwood tax. But I don't get
Supras themselves
thing.
Aren't that cool. It's the 2JZ engine that is cool.
I think the Mark IV is very pretty.
It
as
is.
Well.
I do too.
It's good looking.
I do too.
That's true. Good looking and good sounding is what sells it. The
yeah.
Mark III is neither of those.
No, it looks like a VHS tape.
But
yeah. it, does. It really does. It's a very VHS car.
It's not good.
I think it would be a fine, fun car for what yeah. it is and what they're selling for. But like,
but yeah. it's not an investment. No, I not now. I mean, you know,
if you want an SN95 Mustang, but you want it to be Japanese, I feel like you get a Mark
there
III
some,
Supra.
Yeah, it's like the same with my 300ZX on a Z31. It's like it's just not a good car. Like objectively,
yeah.
it's like fine and fun to putter around in, but it's never going to be like. I don't
okay.
know.
We have another article.
Wait, this question is not going away because Bozy just texted me
uh-oh.
And found the parts cost for Chiseta valves.
And
an intake. Is 63 British pounds intake valve.
Okay.
An exhaust valve is 148 British pounds.
So $200.
So
set.
It's
that's
200
normal.
Pounds per set
of two.
Multiply by 30. No, wait.
What?
It's four valves per cylinder and 16 of those. So that's 64 divided
valves.
By 4, 32 times 200 is 60. Yeah.
64 valves.
6,400 in valves. Who the fuck knows what the labor cost is there? Thanks, Bose. You're the man.
I think, though, that it's still Bugatti.
I think the Bugatti's probably still more. Yeah. Bosey always coming through with the fucking random shit, though.
Driving experience. RX-8 versus BRZ.
Jesus.
BRZ is actually slower than the RX-8, I think.
It is.
Really?
But it is fuel efficient.
No kidding.
It's I like the BRZ.
The BRZ is fine.
The BRZ is fun as long as all you ever like do is leave a stoplight.
Yeah.
Because like the very
preferably
the initial,
while you're turning.
The initial application of gas makes you feel like the car is fast, but the rest of the pedal does nothing.
Yeah, the bicycle passes you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I really like the way that those cars look and like it was nice. It was easy to shift. You know, like it's a great
totally.
Car to learn how to drive
seating
stick on.
Seating position's awesome. The steering feedback I thought was good.
Yeah.
And the BRZ has four cylinder levels of fuel economy.
Mm-hmm.
The RX-8, I shit you not, burns gas like a V8. It burns gas at an unbelievable rate, and it has a little tiny tank. When I tested one, 23 highway out of a fucking rotary. Are you kidding me? Fuck out of here with that. What a waste.
Yeah.
So
nah.
stupid.
I had an NA RX-7 and it sucked so much fuel down. It used so much fucking gas.
It's such an inefficient design.
Yeah, it was comical.
What remains on anyone's bucket list, if anything?
If
Alana,
anything.
You've owned everything.
That's not true. I've owned a lot of the same things.
It's true. You had multiple dualies.
Yeah, multiple Challengers.
How many dump trucks?
Multiple 68 full-size vehicle trucks.
So
I have a lot of stuff on
there. Is there anything that you're like, okay, next couple moves I want to get?
Tom and I have been talking a lot about getting a Lincoln.
Cool.
Like a
what
60s,
year?
Oh, okay.
Like a suicide door?
Like
yeah.
Oh, cool.
Or an Eldorado.
Interesting. All right. So sort of a big kind of luxe
maybe
sportsmobile.
Maybe a convertible.
Yeah, okay, cool.
I like that. I would still like to drive a Ferrari F50. I've never driven an F50.
Cool.
I'd really like to.
Yeah.
If anyone's got one, hook it up. What do you want? What's on your bucket list?
I really like EG Honda Civics and second-gen Monteros right now.
Second-gen Monteros?
Yeah, really
look at
one.
You.
Yeah.
So, you should talk to Aaron Robinson. He loves Monteros.
Really?
Yeah,
yeah
he's had
I'm
like
all about
eight
him.
Of them.
He's
really?
Had eight
no
Monteros?
No, he's at like four, I think.
That's brilliant.
Yes, I have humble aspirations.
That's great. I like that. That works, man. Mine's a lot harder to get fine than yours. Vince. Oh wow, Vince says.
Is it easier to read like this?
Yeah, it's, okay. well, it was. Yeah, the camera was blocking it. Oh, thank you. We have a great podcast, the best guests and best sponsors. Didn't know. Is this someone from? Didn't know Continental made belts.
Wait. What?
Continental makes belts. Got a ContiTech timing belt for my GS430 and replaced it over the weekend. Continental makes good stuff. Thank you, Vince. Thank you for supporting the people who support your favorite automotive podcast. Appreciate that.
It really helps.
Yeah.
It's another car.
It
like
does.
That
it keeps the fucking lights on. Without sponsors, there's no show. Levi says, we're making you feel cool. Aww. Hey.
Wait, hold on. Are we making you feel cool because we are so uncool? Because, I mean,
what,
I get that.
That's
Wait,
what they're
you missed the next sentence. I'm building a pro touring turbo 4-liter swapped AMC Eagle.
What?
and autocross my 73 Super Beetle. Holy shit.
Someone is bold.
Someone is punching uphill.
I really like Eagles. Like, I think they're rad.
Hell yeah.
Is the SX4 the two-door one? Which one is the SX4?
Zach.
I just watched a documentary on the plane last night, a game show documentary with Alex Trebek, and they were talking about giving away AMC Eagles as prizes.
Oh, it is.
That's the two-door one. Yeah, that's it.
Holy crap.
Short wheelbase.
Because they look like off-road goodness. Fox body Mustangs.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. That's stock ride height, right? Ish?
Yeah.
Got really aggressive tires
that
on
is,
that,
though.
No, but they're tall.
Stock ride height.
He's got like mud terrains on that thing.
And they got these big flares on
that
them.
That one might be a little taller than stock.
That might be,
a little bit over stock height.
That is. Yeah, okay.
But
so
they gave one away on the Price is Right, like back in the day. That's what they were talking about.
The funniest
giveaway I saw. They pulled out a clip from the Price is Right where fucking Snoop Dogg, the prize, it was like, let my friend Snoop Dogg interview. And it was a 6.4. Like, it was a suicide door continental convertible 64. And Snoop Dogg gave it away. He's like, win that county, bitch. It was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. It's great.
That's amazing.
Oh, man. Props to this guy for building a
AMC
Eagle SX4. That's crazy.
That's pretty interesting.
All right. Thank you for your donation, Peter. M says, looking to replace my MX-5 NB with something fun that's easier to drive on the highway. See? Less cabin noise. See? Would you recommend an older Lancer Evo?
No.
You picked the only car that's louder and buzzier than a Fiat.
Get an STI. They're quieter inside.
Yeah.
If you want that experience of all-wheel drive turbo, you know, good times.
Yeah, the Evos have a real, they're real buzzy quality to them.
Because they feel
loud.
Thin.
They feel tinny.
They feel cheap.
They do.
They're great race cars, but they
weren't cheap. I remember them being like really expensive.
I know. They're the same price as
being
the
being cheap
back
and
back
feeling day. Cheap are not the same thing, my friend.
Oh, don't I know it.
I know. For instance, use a hoe, but not a cheap hoe, but you really feel it. I'm just kidding. Hayden says, Audi A4 all roads good long term? Are they relatively reliable?
Hayden's screwing with us.
Yeah.
It's got to be a joke, right? That's a joke.
Hey, this all-wheel drive lifted Audi with air suspension.
The A4 doesn't have air suspension.
It's like a granite. Oh, the all-road, though.
No, the A4, though, doesn't have air suspension. Only the first-gen A6 all-road had air suspension. They don't anymore. Now they're just slightly taller.
Now they're just lifted.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want any Audi that has more than 50,000 miles on it, ever.
No. Get... No.
No.
They're not.
Get an Eagle AMC SX4 Eagle.
Look, all the things that we've ever said about German cars remain to be true. You like own it with a warranty or own it with a savings account that is basically going to act as a warranty.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, and the newer they get, the more complicated they are, and then you're going to have even more problems.
Yeah, no, that doesn't mean you couldn't buy one like CPO warranty, whatever, and it would be okay. Like, and they're not necessarily going to leave you stranded on the side of the road, but like weird electrical shit happens in old Audis. It just does.
Yeah.
You think there's a cutoff point for that, where that's like 2019 plus, they're like, okay, or
no,
really, they're still going to be bad. Like,
yeah,
wow,
when I had my M3 was at Castro Motorsports, getting fixed, and I was like, God, you know, these throttle position sensors, I have three of them. Which one's broken? He's like, oh, you think these are bad? He's like, what about? He was like, wait till the E90s and the F80s start coming in because they have five times as many sensors. Everything's getting more and more complicated. Huh. I think until maybe there'll be a point where the Japanese. That's what it is. The Germans are going to break ground first, and then the Japanese 5 years later take the same idea, shrink it, and make it reliable.
Yeah. Alex Roy this morning, exactly how true it is. Was it yesterday this morning? I swear, he posted this graphic that was like how many lines of code things have. And it was like a Boeing 767 had like you know, 700 lines of code, and a fucking car has like 4 million lines of code. It was so crazy. I think it was on Twitter. I don't think it was on Instagram. But he, yeah, it was like this, like just showing how complicated fucking cars are. It was there. That's it, right there, that graphic. Oh, yeah. What does that say?
Fighter jet has the
average
least,
lines of software code in modern luxury vehicle compared to types of aircraft. F-22 fighter jet 1.7. This measured in millions of lines. Boeing 787 has 6.5 million lines of code. Modern luxury vehicle has 100 million.
I mean, that makes sense though, because what you need for, like, say, a fighter jet is the same as a race car. It only needs to be able to do X and Y.
Yeah,
it's true. And it does, there's no if thens other than that.
Right, exactly.
Same as like building a race car, but
it doesn't need like three settings for suspension comfort airbags.
Yeah, does it need to have a memory for the passenger seat position in four different places?
That's
true. You know, like, and it has to have like varying different, you know, distance trackers for adaptive cruise control and all that. You're not doing that stuff.
That is true. I got to call this show in 5 minutes, so super chat questions.
We got two.
Okay, cool.
And one of them spent quite a bit of money.
Oh, wow. George says, for fun, what do you think is the most fun and interesting of the fuel-sipping city runabouts? I have a 2013 Mazda 2, which is awesome, but Mazda stopped selling it here. Fiesta ST?
Yeah.
The answer is always Fiesta ST.
This car is so good.
Yeah.
I saw your post, and I was like, do I need a daily driver that's more reliable? But no.
Dude, after Johnny and I spent like an hour and a half fucking gushing about them on a show a couple weeks ago, like I got three emails from people who went out and bought them.
Wow.
They're fucking great. Those things are awesome.
I haven't heard a bad thing about them.
There are not a lot of bad things about them. I mean, that's, to me, is the most fun and interesting of a fuel sip. What other fuel sipping city runabouts are there?
No.
Miata, but it's not as practical.
It's not really a city runabout. Yeah.
I ran all of this.
I've heard the electric smarts are fun.
Well, I guess you could say like that a Civic SI is a fuel sipping like city fun car. That's just
a Honda Fit is pretty fun.
Yeah.
Fit is better because Fit's smaller.
Yeah.
The electric Fiat 500.
I know
it's deceased, I think, but that was way more fun than the Abarth and more stable feeling. Huh.
And the guys at Sharkworks have three electric smarts that they that they use as like local run around.
Really?
Yeah, run parts around cars. Yeah.
That's a pretty good time.
Yeah. Thank you, George. I appreciate that very much. Lap of the world. Last question before we get out of here. First world problem. Help my wife get a first gen NSX to match mine. All right.
Oh, God.
Or a manual Gallardo. She would drive that too, but wouldn't feel it's, quote, hers.
What?
Why? I don't understand why she would feel it's not hers.
Is it because it's his idea and not her idea?
Maybe her idea was NSX then?
Yeah. What does help my wife mean? Does that mean I have to give her money? What do we do to help her?
Find it?
I mean, they're nice cars. They have a reputation for reliability. They're comfortable. They for the most part, work. They're safe places to park money.
If the question is which should we tell you to work with your wife to get, I mean, the answer is always, what does she want? You know, I mean,
that's true.
People ask me a lot, how do I make my partner or my kids like cars or make them support my car hobby? And the answer is like, listen to what they are saying to you, because a lot of times somebody will be like, oh, honey, you know, what car do you want or whatever? And she'll be like, oh, I want a Jeep Wrangler. And they'll be like, no, you don't. Yeah, you want a Gallardo.
Yeah.
You're like, no.
Did you say Gallardo?
I don't know. I think you should take your wife around to sit in, or if the opportunity presents itself, to drive these cars and let her decide what she wants to buy. Well, you own one, so you own an NSX, so presumably she knows what that's about.
Hmm.
Do you need to? Is it cool if she drives yours?
Give her cunnilingus and she might not want a car anymore. Solve yourself.
Depends on your skill set.
Yes.
True.
Or she might want a really way better car than yours to go pick up her own honeys, maybe. I don't know. Manual Gallardos are all right. Just don't get an 04.
I would do NSX. NSX is just so reliable. So comfortable. I was amazed by that car.
They're really comfortable.
Visibility is great.
Or look at an Evora 400, which you can get used with low miles for like 65, 70 grand.
That was a sick car.
Sick car. It's better than an NSX.
Yeah.
It is.
But it has a Toyota engine, so it's better than the Gallardo, too.
It's also true.
There's your pick.
And they're rare.
Yeah.
When I drove one, I put 2,500 miles on one. I drove a full lap of California, four track days, and I was driving the only one I ever saw. Didn't see another.
That's
one.
A great choice.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, kids.
Thanks
I appreciate
for
it. Thanks
for
fucking
Super
your.
Fun.
I'm so glad you're like have both hands, even if one only kind of works.
Yeah, yeah. It won't look. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. We'll re-up in a few months and see what's up. Do you want to plug anything while you're here, Andrew?
Yeah, I just started a sticker store of like rad styled like ski stickers.
What's the website?
SkiSchoolDropouts.com.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I love the movie Ski School 1 and 2.
It's just, I really like making nonsense, like, illustrations, so I was like, I should put these in a sticker store.
Oh, dude, do you want to help us? I think we're going to do a thing with Blipshift for the Smoke and Tire t-shirts. They were at Mid-Ohio. I talked to, what's that lovely lady's name at Blipshift? The woman. I feel bad because I blanked on her name, but she's such a sweetheart, and we talked for a while. But if you want to help us, those are exactly what we're looking for.
For like style-wise?
Can you pull that over so the audience can see it, Zach? Our fucking system does not want...
I didn't click it, to be fair.
Oh, yeah. Or Zach sucks.
yes. You didn't have to admit that, Zach.
SkiSchoolDropout.com.
Yeah.
I really like the Lotus with the skis on it.
Right? That's from the Bond movie, For Your Eyes Only.
Perfect. Maybe you can do one with my Porsche with skis on it.
Yeah.
I like that. That works. Bring back Ski Ballet. That's a really good one, too. those are winners.
You don't need hands to ski.
That's right. That keeps me sane every day, believe me.
Kelsey at Blipshift?
Kelsey. That's her. Yeah. Support Andrew's other hand by buying a sticker at SkiSchoolDropout.com. Alana, you want to plug anything before we get out here?
Well, I mean, I don't want to follow this because this is better, but, you know, I'm still doing new car review over at Edmunds.
Nice.
So swing by and tell me what you want me to be reviewing.
All right.
It's very nice to get the support.
And Alana is Challenge Her on Instagram. Andrew is Andrew at Large on Instagram. And of course, leave us a rating on iTunes or a review or something. Keep us high in the rankings. We appreciate that. And we are obviously the Smoking Tire on anything. Zach is producing and is appearing in a couple of episodes of Drive on NBC Sports Sunday
nights.
Those
are going to be the best episodes.
Nice. What is it? Sunday nights at 8?
Sunday nights at 8 Eastern time.
8 Eastern. All right. That's it. Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. It's easy. Just make an account, have a microphone, and preferably have something to say. JF Musial will be in studio Wednesday live at, I think, 3 o'clock Pacific. Check our social media. We'll post the link. See you then. We getting the fuck out of here. Goodbye.